please don't take this person out. Would you politely go to hell? Get the fuck out of my way, cause it's been one of those days.
This is platinum. This is the class.
We're talking Ferris wheels.
You've got a sassy walk.
Right. Hang on.
Put a collar on for the Lord.
Was there talk of going full Phantom?
I doubt it.
I am also laughing at that.
Everybody gave Daddy what he needed. Mad at all.
Live on tape. It's the fastest hour in podcasting. This is Never Not Funny. Now, here's your host, Jimmy Pardo.
Hello, everybody. Deedious. Welcome to the program, episode 36000. O'Reilly Auto Parts. That will continue until the final O, the final season. When will the final season of Never Not Funny be? We know Mark Maron is closing up shop. Will Never Not Funny follow? No. I'll tell you that right now. No. I mean, at some point, this will have to end. I would say probably more by my death than anything else. I don't see...
That's dark.
Well, it's because... Well, it's, and that can be any time between now and when I'm 90. You know, that's always, death is always on the table. Look, we learned that from Joni Ernst in Iowa.
She did.
We're all going to die.
She told her constituents, we're all going to die.
Well, we're all going to die. And then she doubled and tripled down on it. And
oh my God.
How that woman doesn't
such a dick.
Lose a... it's a shame the election isn't today.
Yeah.
Because by the time we elect, it's 2026, it'll be forgotten, even if it's in ads and so on and so forth. It's I know that the people that that Nate Silver piece of shit and his fucked company, they've moved her from a strong Republican to a leans Republican because of her actions.
Huh.
So the thought is if even Nate Silver's doing that, Nate Silver, by the way, could be thrown into that same fucking wood chipper as DJT. Hmm. They were on the news today saying on my drive in that I heard, you know, Musk and Trump are fighting, mm-hmm. and they're doing it publicly because that's, I guess, the easiest way to do it. And now Elon Musk is a dickhead. Let's acknowledge that. But Elon Musk says something, and then Donald Trump says, that's not true. Here's the truth. And then the reporters report it, but the president says, that's not true. He's saying, this is the truth. And it's like, has Donald Trump told the truth? Ever.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, Musk is a dick, but we don't know him to be a liar. We know Donald Trump to be a liar.
If you had to pick which of one of these two people is the bigger liar, yeah. you would pick
yes.
Donald Trump.
I'm not suggesting that Musk is an angel and never lied in his life. I'm saying comparatively to Donald Trump.
Before he got into politics, he fancied himself a truth teller, I would say. Like he tried to
Is that really true though? Because
fancied himself that? Yes.
Oh, maybe he fancied himself. But like, has a Tesla model ever been released when he said it was going to?
No.
But is that lying?
Yes, because he knows better.
He was manipulating the stock market.
And he absolutely has done that.
Statements. But
I see.
But it's also that, you know, yeah, he's only, obviously, he's only ever out for himself, which is why he's fighting with Donald Trump, is because he's not getting what he wanted. He thought, hey, I thought $250 million bought me what I...
I thought stealing the election for you would help me in some way.
It's like it only goes so far, buddy. That's old news now.
Yeah, you got your data about all the people and your competitors and the companies that take your prize and
you
leave.
Got the Justice Department off your ass and all the other things.
Oh, and yeah, and the FCC and the
right.
The FAA isn't involved, but the FDA.
I think the BFG is involved.
Yeah.
The big friendly the giant, the BFG is involved as well.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it is? BFG?
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Big friendly giant. That's what that stands for. It was a fine movie. I wasn't mad at that movie.
Never saw it.
I saw it with my young son, Oliver. You've met Oliver.
I have.
He graduates on Monday from high school. And he's got a party every single day between now and Tuesday.
They have some class. Are the seniors not expected to go to class?
No school today. All they have today is pick up cap and gown.
Oh, okay.
And then tomorrow they have senior picnic, which is done out on the football field. Hmm. And that's it. And then Monday is the aforementioned graduation. And then Tuesday, they have to return the gowns if they didn't buy them,
mm-hmm.
which we did not because you don't need that.
No.
Return the gown and get your diploma. Because, you know, they give you a phony one, you know, they, on stage, they just hand you something.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Then you go and pick up your actual diploma the very next day. So, and then it's over. It's done.
And when have you already bought your stock of Kleenexes? How's that going?
I went yesterday and got a bunch of the
bulk item.
A bulk. And what I'm going to do, and I think this is a smart move on my part, is bring it all to the Greek theater and
sell it.
And make some dough.
Yeah.
you know, Big Johnny style. I'm gonna
this is a lot.
This is Prince T-shirt.
Set up the trunk.
You're gonna miss him walking across the stage, a la the Purple Rain guitar solo.
Just so you can one sell Kleenex some hanging from the trunk. You got trunk open. Yeah. Kleenex hanging on a hanger.
I'll hear all. I go, oh fuck, I better get out there.
Yeah,
because that'll be like the Purple Rain where I hear most of it, but not the there's an owl. And then I scoot. But you know what? What do you think? I think dollar a tissue in a setting like that.
I think you, instead of doing a lot, just be more brazen about it. Go up and down the aisles
a hot dog vendor.
Yeah, like a Kleenex. Got your Kleenex. Yeah,
Kleenex here now. Kleenex. Yeah.
One for two, two for five.
Right. Now, here's the thing. What if somebody pushes back and says,
they should on that.
That's a terrible deal.
What happened?
I want to sell the ones. I don't want to sell twos.
Yeah. Okay, clearly.
Like, I don't want to run out. Three for 25.
Three for 25. Now, listen. It's your kid.
If you want to do
you
it.
You want to skip on the, you want to go dollar? It's your kid.
I'm not going to stop you. It's not a good deal, but if you don't know math, that's your problem.
All right. I cannot be more clear to this company that I have canceled my appointment for an ultrasound. Mm-hmm. I've canceled, and they've now texted, and then even this morning they've called saying, "Don't forget you have your appointment tomorrow." I'm like, I to the woman today, I've canceled that.
Hmm.
Oh, would you like to reschedule? We do not at this time. My primary does not think it's a necessary test at this time. We would be wasting everybody's time. So we have the referral. You know, take me off the schedule. And then they just, we need, Ms. Ryder, you don't forget your thing tomorrow. It's like, please press one to confirm. I know it's automated, but it's still,
right.
Why didn't that woman press the button? Anyhow, back to tissues.
I think she has a special note on her console that says, this is Jimmy Pardo. He will always take an appointment.
You know what? There's a good chance that guy's coming.
Yeah, he's going to cancel it and then go, oh, actually, I do need to come in.
Is there any chance you didn't fill that spot yet? Yeah. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think what I was gonna ask about pushback is if I go store brand, if I go up and up Target and I say Kleenex here and somebody goes, that's not Kleenex.
Yeah. Wow. It's a generic term at this point.
I believe it is. Remember that was the Strands the other day. It was part of the, the proprietary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was Kleenex. What was some of the,
oh, wait, I missed that one.
Did you really?
I think I opened it and then something happened and I never went back cause I saw the little hint, the header thing.
It was a fun one. That was one that you can get done within seconds.
Mm-hmm.
We thought about it before. I don't like the ones that take forever. And yeah. I don't like the ones that I'm done in less than
too
a
quickly,
minute.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, good. I'm going to sit down and do strands. That's
and
over.
Now I'm done. Now what do I do?
Okay. Boy, oh boy. That was supposed to take at least 5 minutes.
My least favorite kind, they don't do it very often, but it's when the thing is like you have to find two words that joined to like they're two separate words,
yeah,
but the meaning of them being in the thing only makes sense when you put them together. It would be like, you know, if this is just an example, like if the theme were extremes, it would be one word would be hot and the other one would be cold.
Yo,
you know
what yes, I mean?
Like
yes,
that,
yes,
that kind of deal. Because then it's like you're looking for something, but you're like, I don't know what this, like, this means nothing until I figure out what the whole thing is. And then, so you're just kind of like, you're completely in the dark. And that just, I find that to be very difficult.
Well, I'll save some time. Do not go with hot. That's three letters. That's
yeah,
not
it's never
going to,
that's not going to be a word.
But
I liked that soccer one the other day. That was
yeah, I thought
right
of
up my alley.
I thought of you. And even for me, that was easy.
That was a good
so
one.
So I couldn't imagine how quickly you got that done.
Striker.
Was that one of them?
Yeah, it was like midfielder, goalie, striker, defender, and it was very straightforward.
Yeah, it was what was it called? Soccer terms or what was the?
I forget what the
no, like, no you know what it was? Soccer.
Soccer. Yeah, I think it was just
straight across. Yeah. SOCCER, standard spelling on that. Garen, you played the game.
Short for association football, ASOC, soccer. That's where it comes from. A little tidbit for you.
Is that true?
Yeah, in the 19th century England, when the game was invented, anything played not on a horse was considered a foot, like foot, any sport. It's called football because you play it on foot. It's not so like so there was rugby football, which is more like what we call football and rugby. And then there was association football, and I forget what because an association formed to set the rules for it. And it was mostly played in universities, and they shortened it to ASOC. And then there was a trend in England at the time where you would just put ER at the end of everything to make it a nickname. So they called it soccer.
Soccer.
Yeah.
It's like if you're a baseball manager and somebody has a nickname, they just throw an SY at the end of it and that's your nickname. You know, Matsy's doing a great job out there. We like what Matsy's doing.
What would they do for you? Jimmy Z's.
I think they go to Pards.
Or Jimmy. Jim Z.
I don't think my first name gets involved at all.
Okay.
I think it's Pards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Pards is doing a great job out there. We're real happy with his performance today.
Yeah. So they called rugby Rugger for a long time.
I like that.
So it was Rugger and soccer.
What do you think of the phrase? I know it became a cartoon, but when somebody refers to their own children as Rugrats, you like that at all?
you brought this up. Many, I know it bothers you.
I can't stand it.
I remember when Oliver was little, that's when I think it came up in your life and you were like, I don't like that.
What do you think? How's your little Rugrat doing? I don't like that.
I could understand people finding it, like thinking that it's a term of endearment. Like they don't see it as something that sounds kind of pejorative, but I understand why you do find it.
I don't like it.
Gross.
I don't like it. I do not like it.
Well, you don't like rugs and you don't like rats. So it's an 0-for-2 on your.
Yeah.
So why is it rats? Is it an acknowledgement that children are dirty, or is it just thoughtless? Because there are so many other animals. You could be rabbit, rub cat, rub dog, rub puppy, rub kitten.
I guess rats are small and they scurry, but rats are bigger than mice. So why not rug
mice?
Rug mice.
That doesn't sound as good.
Doesn't sound as good.
I think that whoever workshopped this got it.
It was phonetic.
Well, rug rabbit would have worked out.
No. Rug rat. Boom, boom. Too many three, three. Syllables. Three, three.
Yeah.
Rug rat, spell it.
And rug cat, R-U-G-R-A-T.
Rug cat, yeah, that's not cool. Nobody's doing that.
Rug guinea pig,
I can't be more clear.
You need
about.
To find another animal that's three letters, pig. Maybe starts with an R.
Rug
roach.
No.
I mean, that's even more.
Yeah, that's
insulting.
Worse.
Oh, that'd be. I would murder the person who said that.
Yeah, that's fair.
But honestly, rug rat, I don't know what a like. There's no such thing. Like, that's not a thing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but neither but neither is mall rat. It's a thing that we...
But I understand why the term mall rat came to be, whereas I don't understand why the term rug rat came to be.
They're low and they...
They're in the rug and they're rats? They're on
the ground scurrying.
Are they ratting people out? Is it that kind of rat?
That's not the rat. nor is that the rat and mall rat.
No, I know.
They're small and scurrying. That's the...
Yeah.
I would imagine the...
Yeah.
Reason behind it.
What about rug squirrel? I know you and Irma like to call children squirrels.
I mean, it doesn't follow the other things you're talking about, but no. It certainly sounds better.
You know, we have that menagerie happening in our backyard. And yesterday,
rug raccoon.
Yesterday, a baby skunk came up and decided to, before eating any of the food, decided to look at the window and check out what was going on in the house. And it was absolutely adorable because he put his little hands up on the ledge is... You know, it's a window pane. It's a window, you know, patio window. Mm-hmm. So it's the patio. And then that vinyl just, you know, a lip.
Yeah.
It's, you couldn't even balance. Maybe you could balance a nickel on it. You know, right, that sort of thing. But he put his little hands on that and just was looking at the house. And it was his tiny little face. And he was, I mean, it was a baby, too. It was so tiny.
Do babies not spray, or do they have the ability to spray immediately?
I don't know the answer to that, because then I was like, oh, I want to get down and say hello to him. And then he turned around and I'm like, oh, does he not know there's glass? Like, is he so young?
Right.
He doesn't know there's glass and he's now going to spray me. He did not.
Right.
But at 3 months.
Yeah, 3 months.
I don't know how old this guy was. I didn't get a chance to cut him open and see his rings. So I don't know. If I had to guess, I would say right around that. 3 months. Like, I don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe it was a year old. Maybe it was 4 days old. I have no idea.
Yeah, I would have no idea how to estimate that. You have to imagine when they're newborn, they must be tiny.
Tiny little, an like
adult's
in a hand.
Not that big, yeah. And I've seen, like, you know, kittens when they're first born are very, very tiny.
Very tiny kittens. Very tiny kittens. Hang on.
Oh, boy.
I'm okay. Hey, on the last episode, we breezed past my trip, my recent tour.
Yeah, you got any road stories?
Yeah, I fucked everybody.
Hey,
I got hammered. I did some dead Nazis. That's what shot. and then okay. Fucked.
Cool.
That's a dead Nazi.
Dead Nazi is, I'll tell you this, it was the last alcohol I ever drank.
Yeah.
It was on July 18th of 1999 when I was in Boise, Idaho. The staff, if they liked you at the Funny Bone in Boise, if they liked you, they would send you shots on stage. Mm. And they really liked me, so they sent me a lot of shots on stage.
Oh, boy.
And I got and what they would do, it was very fun. I've told it before on the show. There was a this particular club had a balcony. And so they would they had this, like, a little pulley system, like they would lower the shot down to you.
That's great.
To be really just fun.
Yeah,
that is fun.
Fun. And I'm sure if the GM knew that what was going on, maybe that manager and his staff would have been cut loose. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I don't know exactly what's in there. I do know they don't taste good, but they hit hard.
Hmm. Okay.
A shot that makes frat brewers go, "Oh, that's delicious," and you can't tell if they're lying or just don't have any actual taste buds anymore. Equal parts 151 rum, Jägermeister, and Rumpel Minz.
Oh my God!
I mean, that's a lot.
That's medicine.
Yeah.
What's Rumpel Minz? Is it a mint flavored drink?
I feel like I've had it before.
I don't think it is.
It's of the Jägermeister Goldschlager sort of.
Yeah, it's in that
world. Like a herbal.
You would do, like, do you want to do a shot of Rumpelmans? Do you want to do a shot of Jägermeister?
They're all terrible.
So this is like basically you're getting three shots in one.
Mm.
And
and no, yes, that's not going to taste good.
It is, but I, as a needy performer in 1999, was more than happy to do any. Oh, you like me? And I send it down. And then slam. Avi Lieberman was the feature act. And afterwards, Avi was like, man, that was a lot. It happened once, too, where they gave me a lot of alcohol in Merrillville, Indiana. And Graham Elwood was the MC, and I was the headliner. And I came off stage, and Graham just goes, shooter. Like, because it was a mess.
Yeah.
It was a drunk, you know, it was just, you know, hillbillies in Indiana buying me drinks.
That could have been another meaning of your nickname, by the way. Like, if you
could have been,
take a lot of shots, shooter.
Yeah. Again, that's not a good nickname in 2025, shooter. No. It was always ironically said.
Yeah.
And then my friend said it. But it hits my even now when, you know, when Siegel will go, or we're playing, you know, poker. Hey, shooter.
Yeah.
Like, man, it's just.
And did the appearance of the when Happy Gilmore came out, the fact that the villain's name was Shooter McGavin, did that affect your.
Yes, life? It did. Yes. Yeah.
Negatively.
Yeah. Yes and no. It just was annoying.
Yeah.
Oh, because of Happy? No. No. A lot years before it.
By the way, a new trailer for the Happy Gilmore 2 came out recently, and I had seen the teaser trailer, and, you know, I like that movie. When it came out, I thought it was really funny and mm-hmm. enjoyed it. And then I saw the teaser. I was like, oh, okay, maybe this will be good. I'm excited. The new trailer, it's like they systematically went through and they were like, okay, what are the jokes in the first one? Let's do the exact same thing.
I know.
And I was like, come on, man. That just, it really
one would hope.
Hard.
Yeah. One would hope that's what they're showing us.
Right. Just to get people
to go, oh yeah, the nostalgia of it.
Yeah.
And then there'll be fresh stuff.
So you saw it too.
Yeah. And I was like, I think we've seen this movie.
It's a bummer.
Yeah.
And I was like, except it's like, yeah, all the same jokes, and yet, but except that everybody's older, and he's got a daughter now, I guess.
Yeah, I don't.
Which is his actual daughter. So.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, good for them. Keep it right in the family. Keep that dough rolling.
I mean, yeah, we're nepotism's, I think, generally like not a great thing. But if she can do it, she can do it. You know, yeah. I don't know. I don't know if she can do it. I've never. She was in a couple other movies that he did, I think, and I haven't seen them.
So. You know what? I'll say this about nepotism in show business. We know that I mean, in this case, clearly it helps.
Yeah.
But overall, it can help maybe open some doors, but you still have to deliver.
Yeah.
You know, there's been, you know, Michael Douglas's kids didn't make it.
Right.
And Kirk did.
Right.
Michael did. But Michael's kids, they tried.
Yeah.
And they didn't have it. And, you know, when's the last time you heard about Eric Douglas? You know what I mean? Like, you don't know them. So, you know, I bring my kid in here, so I won't fucking hear this. Jamie Lee Curtis had to earn it. She started doing it with Halloween, yeah, which right. was basically a small, kind of an independent, wasn't independent, but it was small.
Mm-hmm.
And then she, you know.
Yeah, same with Carrie Fisher. It's like, I think when they were casting Star Wars, everybody thought that movie was going to bomb because it seemed so ridiculous. Like even as it was being released, people were like, this seems so corny and weird. So it's not like it was a sure thing that she was like, well, I'm Hollywood royalty, so right. I will just take this very desirable role. No, it was like sci-fi was seen as junk and they were B movies basically. And so
she wanted to work. That was it.
Right.
I mean, that's a end of fucking story, Gary.
I just saw a thing of like, it was a little compilation of different people auditioning for Princess Leia.
Yes.
Including her. And one of them was Cindy Williams.
From Happy Days and American Graffiti fame.
Yeah.
And Laverne and Shirley. She went on to be on Laverne and Shirley as well.
That makes
she was
sense.
Not on Happy Days. I misspoke. She did an episode.
Right. There was all a lot of crossover.
The character, yeah.
Yeah. Which makes sense because George Lucas directed her in American Graffiti, like you said, but which I'm just learning now. I didn't remember that she was in that.
Oh, yeah.
But
as was Ron Howard.
Yeah. So but like it's interesting to watch because they're dealing with this very unwieldy dialogue that makes no sense to in that. Like now we understand what it means, but it's all about like, well, I put the plans in the R2 unit and they're just like, you know, if you're an actor coming into a thing, you're like, what is this? Like, what am I doing?
What's my backstory? How do I prep for this role?
Right. And so it was interesting to see different people. They didn't really show Cindy Williams doing the lines. They just showed her getting frustrated, but because it was kind of like, edited. But like, and then one of the other actresses was, I didn't even know this woman's name, but I looked her up and I found out. It's the woman from the first Beverly Hills Cop, who's like Axel Foley's friend in Beverly Hills. She's if you saw her, and I don't remember her name, but she's got blonde hair, attractive woman. But I was like, I do know that actress, and seeing her do it. And then it was one other person I didn't really recognize. But then you get to Carrie Fisher and you're like, oh, wow, she really. I mean, it's partly because we know her.
Right.
We've all seen her do the actual role, but it's also like she was delivering it in a way that made you go, okay, she seems to know what she's talking about, and the other ones very much seemed like they didn't know what they were talking about, because who would know what they were talking about? It's just nonsense. They're saying nonsense.
No, she might have been all doped up.
True.
You know, she might have gone, yes, this makes perfect sense to me. Yeah. I'm always conflicted when I see those compilations of the audition tapes. On one hand, I think it's interesting because I think it's neat to see them.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it's like, do I need to know that? Does Cindy Williams need the world to know that she didn't get the part? And here's why.
Yeah.
Like, there's one out there. I think, is it for The Office with Seth Rogen?
Yeah.
And he's auditioning, and it's like, do we need to, I mean, he's done fine, but do we need to see him fail? You know what I mean? Like, I don't.
Right. Yeah. I guess it's in his case, and in a lot of people's cases, it's like, they landed on their feet. It all worked out for everybody. But if it's someone that you don't really know, it's kind of like,
well, like that woman,
that
Beverly Hills Cop woman.
Obviously,
she's just a working actress,
right? If she had gotten that part, it would have changed her life.
Absolutely.
I mean,
or not. Maybe the movie doesn't work.
Maybe. What's that woman's name, Garen?
Lisa Eilbacher.
Yeah.
Oh, she worked. She did. She worked a fair amount.
She was in Officer and Gentleman, Beverly Hills Cop, Hardy Boys, Nancy Drew.
She's very good in Officer and Gentleman. Very good. She plays Deborah Winger's friend. She's the character's a horrible person.
I remember her being good in Beverly Hills Cop. Maybe she wasn't right for the role. But I guess the reality is you might feel bad about it if it's out there and you're like, oh, now everybody sees that I didn't get that. But it's like, that's the job. Like, everybody knows that if you're an actor, you get rejected.
It's not the job for it to go out to go.
No, that's true. But I'm just saying,
I would not want any of, I also auditioned for The Office and other things and Mad Men. And like, right. I don't want me being in a compilation.
Sure.
Well, it's like, our boy Lin-Manuel, like him doing Jesus Christ Superstar is atrocious.
Yeah. That's embarrassing.
I don't know. I mean, but he's made it and we all respect him. I don't know if I want. I was horrible.
Yeah, it's a private moment in a weird way.
It's a private moment.
You know what I mean? Like, it's between you and the people.
I think it is.
And like, yeah, it's not meant to be seen outside.
I would imagine you'd have to sign off on that. I mean, because you don't sign off. You don't sign any paperwork for the audition saying I allow this to go out. I've never signed anything.
They probably get leaked a lot without anybody's permission. You know, like it's just like, oh, someone found this and they, I mean, this is 50 years later. So.
That's true.
Right. I've definitely, like, not every audition, but there have been a couple where they make you sign a release for the footage for the audition. And I'm not worried about it because, okay, I'm not.
Well, I'm worried because I suck.
Oh, I've sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good at silent takes, but it turns out that in auditions, reading what somebody else has written, I need to practice that skill.
You know what I always needed to practice was not just waiting to say my line, like in an audition. It's, you know, you're reacting to what that person's saying.
Interesting.
That's the that's the key, because so many, and I'm guilty of it, or was guilty of it quite a bit, and sometimes I was not. But when it's like, you know, hey, what are we doing Tuesday?
We're going, Jimmy.
Yes, you would finish the line.
Sorry, I was. That's my improv skill.
There's the improv skills of Elliot Hochberg.
Sorry,
I go and see him in Jane Austen Live, whatever the shit he's doing these days.
But you know what? The thing is, sometimes you see those things, and it's like someone famous, and it isn't good, and you're just like, maybe they didn't. It seems like some people. Maybe I'm reading into it. It seems like some people's attitude, even from back when they had to audition, was like, I'm just going to come in here and read them and you decide if you like me or not. I'm not going to like perform for you like a monkey, which seems counterintuitive, but I could see that also working in the way that we're like, wow, this guy doesn't give a shit. He's just like so confident. He just comes
I can't
in.
See a no name doing that. I can't see.
Well, I saw an interview with the guy who directed 10 Things I Hate About You. And he was talking about when Heath Ledger came in and no one knew who Heath Ledger was. And he was just like, as soon as he walked in, I was like, he's got it. Like, and then he like struggled with the script and he was like, it didn't matter. He was like, I just knew like this guy, there's something about him. Like he just had it. He had the confidence. He had the swagger. He had every, he was like, he even said to him afterwards, he's like, cause it didn't go great. He's like, I don't know what's going to happen here, but you're going to be huge. Like he told them that he's like, I could see it. And so, and then he obviously got it, but, I think some people just have that like sort of sense of confidence that we all wish we had, or maybe it's phony. I don't know.
We've talked about this in the program before, Jimmy, about how auditioning is not the same as acting either in a film or in television or on stage for that matter.
It is its own thing.
It's its own thing. So the only danger with what that director said is that there are some people who only have swagger when they're not reading someone else's lines.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you can get them to pretend they're the person and just say stuff and use whatever they say, then great. Otherwise, that person's never going to be a big actor. Because you do usually at some point have to read what somebody else wrote.
That's usually acting. Yeah. That's a big part of acting is reading from the script. That's my Wolf Blitzer. Wolf Blitzer will do that. Okay. Well, acting is a big part of it is reading from the script. We're here in the Situation Room. Okay. Wolf, again, stating the obvious. He states the obvious. And he is, we talked about recently, he's dying right in front of our eyes. Like he's he's getting older and older. He's getting, his face is getting, he's getting work done. His face is getting tighter and tighter. His hairline is going, like all of our hairlines, it's going back and back, but like he's still hanging on to that side, what I call clown hair.
Mm-hmm.
But he's letting it grow out as if he's 30 years younger. So like today it was almost, you know, Krusty the Clowny. It was banana time. Like starting way back, his face is pulled way back, and then he's just looking at just speaking of just waiting for you to stop talking, and then
I think he. Well, it was because of my age too, but he seemed old in 1991
when he was covering the Gulf War. I thought he was
So
how old was he then?
35 years ago.
Look at, he's confused, doesn't know what's happening. So, all right, how old Wolf Blitzer today? All right, this is 2025.
When we all saw him, when we first encountered him, for me it was the early 90s. I don't know if he was around before that, but I think I just was like, that's an old man. But he was probably 56,
and I was going to say 45.
That'd be crazy, but it's possible.
So today, my guess would be today that he's. Let's see, what's 45 plus 35? 80.
80.
Yeah. That would be my guess. Okay, well, I was gonna guess he's my dad's age, which is 82. So he would have been in 90 or 91, 47.
Yeah.
That's my guess. Again.
Because if I was right, he would be way too old now. He'd be like in his 90s. So there's no way he was in his 50s then.
If he was 50, he'd be 85.
Right, but I said 55 or 56.
So he'd be 90.
Yeah, he'd be 90, which is not possible.
Like it could be because he's dying right in front of our eyes.
Let's put a real guess.
What are we doing? We're guessing how old he is today.
Yes, we're going to try to guess.
I'm going with 82. I'm sticking with my dad. With my dad's age.
I'm gonna say 80. He's 80.
All right. I'm going to bet on the side of he went gray early, and I'm going to say 75.
Whoa.
75? He's...
Yeah, because it... I mean...
They're propping him up.
But that means he would have been 40 when we... But I guess it's possible. No,
he could have been. Yeah. I think, again, I think they bring him out on a dolly, and they set him up in this position. Go ahead, Garen. Please reveal to us how old Wolf Blitzer is today.
Wolf Isaac Blitzer was born March 22nd, 1948.
So that makes
77.
77. The trombones, huh?
I think well, that one extra. Makes me the closest.
Yeah. It does make you the closest.
Especially without going over.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. we went over. All right. So what does that make him in 91?
77 minus 35.
Yeah.
47 minus 5.
43.
42. 43. Yeah. Right, I mean, that's plausible. Because the other thing was, wasn't his first thing like out...
It's not plausible.
It's the accurate. Reality. It's true.
It's the truth. The math checks out on us.
I was looking at your faces.
He hasn't gone through a time portal. I think he's followed the timeline we all live in.
First of all,
I was looking at your faces, and the plausible wasn't for his age. The plausible was for how he looked.
Yes. And I will go along with what Matt said. We were younger.
Sure.
And 42 looked older than 40. Yeah. 42 does not look the same today as it did then.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say is that, so he was a war correspondent, right? Wasn't he out where wars were happening?
I thought he was the guy in the studio that would throw her to the Scud Stud.
Maybe.
You're thinking of the other guy. Yeah, the Scud Stud. I forget that guy's actual name.
I couldn't remember whether Wolf's first thing was...
He might have been. Maybe, but I don't think for the Gulf War. I think he was already in...
Was he also at some point in like on the balcony of a building maybe. And then like, you know, talking about what was going on around
him? I can picture him with a helmet. Does that help? Yeah, he must have been a...
Somewhere where a helmet was plausible.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Unbelievable. Just acknowledge you said plausible. It was ridiculous. I understand why you said it, but it's still us making fun of you still is very valid. All right.
Is it plausible?
Let me get back to this trip. Plano, Texas, Austin, Texas, and then Salt Lake City. And a lot of great Never Not Funny fans came. That's what's important. In all of them, they were all, obviously they're all Never Not Funny fans. Although there were some in Plano. This was a tag. There were 15 comps, and as a guy who's doing a door deal, I should be told of those.
Where'd those come from?
I don't know if they were. You know, I didn't ask. I enjoyed the staff there was terrific. The manager was terrific, the guy in front, he and his wife, his name was Luis, and her name was Jessica. And they clearly had no idea who I was. They loved me. They bought a shirt. They bought a T-shirt afterwards. They're all in now.
Great.
And then there were also three women that didn't know who I was, and they still are happy with that. They don't. They're not going to follow my career in any way, shape, or form. they liked me enough. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. At any rate, it was great to see all the Never Not Funny fans. It was great to see the meet and greets were terrific. And then we got a couple of items. I failed to mention on the other. I'll close up with the one. So we got these, and I will not remember this gentleman's name. This guy's a Never Not Funny fan. And he gave me stickers that say, "You are beautiful." So, Garen, you could toss those anytime you want.
This is a nice positive message.
It's a nice positive message, but I got to be honest with you. He gave it to me rather passive-aggressively. Yeah. Like, he said, I want to give you these. Like, I was like, okay. And he goes, yeah, it says, "You are beautiful." So, that's for you. It's one for everybody in the room. And so, here's our four "You are beautiful" stickers that... he angrily and passive-aggressively gave to me. And I don't remember the guy's name, probably because I was scared he was about to murder me. So here's these stickers. You guys can put those on
thanks.
Your...
thanks, angry man.
On your
Down
tube of the bicycle. Yeah. Thank you. And then this one, she said there's a message in here, and I will pull that out. It's one of those little velvety cinch bags.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, maybe 2 inch by 2 inch. 3 inch by 3 inch. Let me whip my cock out so I can get an accurate measurement on that.
Oh, you got the.
How many of those little bags do you think they make in a year?
Seven.
Oh, okay.
Hey, gang. This was written 5/30/25, by the way. Date's right up on top. Okay. Here's, and again, another somebody else with beautiful penmanship. Infuriates me with these people know how to write with where you could understand everything they've written. Like, literally, we had a meeting in here the other day.
You had to text us and say, what did I write? I can't read it.
What did I write? And we said for our game night, which is coming up on, what did we decide on?
24th.
24th.
I see the J in June. And that's where you lost me. And it's like, I wrote this down for my notes.
Yeah.
For you to read.
For everybody else. And that's the other thing. When it's usually sloppy, it's like, it doesn't matter that it's sloppy. This is only for me. I know what I'm writing.
Mm-hmm.
No fucking clue with it. But, it didn't even look like a number, quite frankly. It looked like I tried to write out 24.
I wish you had taken a picture and sent it, because I want to see what it looked like.
You know what? I may still have that paper at home. Hey, here are some friendship bracelets in honor of Taylor getting her master's back.
Hey.
Nice.
Hopefully to encourage more Taylor talk on the show. Oh, man, we don't want that. Thanks for all the joy and laughs you bring 2 times a week. Up top, Tracy Termundi, if I'm saying that right. T-E-R-M-U-N-D-E, Termundi. Hmm. I would say Termundi.
Yeah.
I hope it is, because that's a cool sounding name.
It is.
Tracy Termundi. And
it's like Rugrat.
She likes the
alliteration.
That's plausible.
Taylor talk. Taylor sucks.
Thank you, whoever sent that in.
Christopher Huffman.
Thank you, Chris. Tofer. Here's one that says, go fuck your gun.
Oh, nice.
So that's that one. And this one says, Garen sucks. So, Garen, this one will be for your new roommate.
I think Garen wears that as a signal to others.
Yeah, let's go.
Hey,
there you go. Create a new trend.
I have a service I provide.
That one says, my pleasure. Uh-huh. This one just says, NNF.
Nice.
And this one says, up top, my brother.
Awesome.
And then this one says, Silent K.
Oh, that's me.
Nope. Believe it or not, this one she says in there specifically.
Oh, it's for someone else.
Here you go. Put that on your wrist and suck it. Garen, coming in. Garen sucks. There you go. Which one do you want?
What's left?
You've got, my pleasure is my line, so I have to take my pleasure.
Very good.
I also said, go fuck your gun.
Yeah.
All right, so here's what you got.
Yeah.
You got up top, my brother, or NNF?
I guess I'll take up top my brother.
Yeah. Coming in high. Good
nice
catch.
Thank you.
It was a slap catch.
Slap catch.
And then NNF will be, you know what? We'll leave that here on some sort of a thing. I'm putting mine on right now. But here he goes. Right. He goes
on. Too.
It's going to go on right now. I'm going to put it on the high
with
side of the
Jimmy
watch.
Jimmy Pardo.
I'm going to go on the high side of my watch. You know what I mean by that?
I do.
Look at that. I got them both on. And you know what? I may be a guy that now wears these. And then people go, what's that? And then I go, oh, it's for my a fan made them for my podcast. Oh, you have a podcast? Yes, doctor. I've told you that for 19 fucking years. So you're saying if I Google you, I would, yes. How have you not done that already? You find me fun when I'm in here.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about Dr. Drew, by the way. Dr. Drew is may or may not listen to this program. I'm not sure. I know he did.
And you're not talking about the radio guy, Dr. Drew.
No, I'm talking about Dr. Drew who's trying to help save lives as opposed to Dr. Drew who's just trying to make a buck.
Yeah, who's trying to beat a Dr. Oz and not being as successful at it.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good call.
I love the idea that he actually does listen to the show and now he's just sitting there dejected in his $5,000 chair.
Dr. Drew?
Yeah.
What do you think he's going to do? He's going to do some more push-ups?
Maybe.
He's got a solid upper body.
Rage.
He did our show, right? Didn't he do Parcastathon once?
Who?
No.
He was scheduled to do it once.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. Back at the Acme days.
Yeah, no, I've never met him.
Could it be that he did one of your other programs, like your Running Your Trap or something like that?
I think I know he was scheduled to do Parcastathon at Acme one time, and because I had done his show. It's the early days of podcasting when, you know, there weren't as many.
Yeah.
And it was really incestuous. And so it was, you know, Adam Carolla on mine on Adam. Drew on me going to Dr. Drew. And then me saying, and then Dr. Drew, oh, yeah, I'll do the charity. And, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I forget why he canceled like 5 days before. Probably realized, I'm about to go fucking crazy, and I don't want to be having live on a charity event. That's not fair to the children.
Mm-hmm.
As a reminder, you're welcome, children. Go ahead, Gary.
Is he the first that did that weird turn?
That went nuts?
Yeah.
Mm. Who, Dr. Drew?
Yeah. We liked him until a point.
Yeah.
And then he did that thing.
I thought Carolla gave the first inklings of his conservative.
I would say Carolla.
Yeah. But I mean,
dragged Drew with him.
Sort of, yeah. That's what's weird, though.
Is or that, was it vice versa? Or did Drew drag him?
Yeah, maybe introduced him to the world. Mm. The thing was, they were a good team because they were a good contrast. Like, Drew was the educated, doctor guy, and Adam's like the idiot, funny, street smart. Like, I'm just asking questions. I'm a regular. You know, let me hang some drywall.
It's like this show. I'm that guy, and you're the know-it-all.
Sort of. Well, and then so is he.
Sort of.
I think Elliot is the official know-it-all. But
your house has no mirrors.
Wow. It's deep.
Right? That's fun. That's a fun way to put it.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of people, because you were saying your doctor's... Or your doctor, Drew, maybe listens or doesn't, but one of my physical therapists told me he listened to the show, and he was like, yeah, I like it. I like the rhythm of it. And I was like, I don't know what that means. It's a weird comment. But anyway, he graduated from college last year. This guy's young. Like, he's crazy young. But then, so he listened to one and said that to me. I was like, oh, thanks for listening. And then another day, he was like, hey, I went back and listened to the Rob Reiner one. That was great. He came in with the Monopoly. I was like, oh, okay, nice. So you're in. Like, this guy's in now.
Here's what I was going to say. Somebody says I like the rhythm of it.
Yeah.
They're never listening again.
You're just looking for something nice to say.
100%. But the fact that he went back and he dives into the Reiner.
Yeah.
Well, great.
We're slowly sinking this is a dude who he's so young. His reference points are so like, obviously we have a lot of guests that aren't like famous. And so he's not going to know those people, but then he might not even know people that are famous that are like, he might not know who Rob Reiner is. You know what I mean?
But why would he choose that one?
Yeah. I don't know why. And I don't know why I said Rob Reiner. I meant to say Paul Reiser, things like that. Well, like
this time you meant to say Paul Reiser.
Yeah. The second time I said it, I didn't mean to say the same name, but like there's people who are famous. He probably knows Paul Reiser from like Stranger Things or whatever.
100%.
But there's other guys that we've had in here who are famous to our generation.
Kevin Pollak.
Yeah.
He doesn't know Kevin Pollak.
Exactly. Yeah.
He doesn't.
Well, I'll ask, but I don't know. I don't think so.
I find it interesting. You know, my physical therapist, Enrique, also still listens to this. Like, he was all in on the show. I think he listens to Danielle's as well, Enrique. Enrique listens to that, How to Survive. He did say this. He goes, I like everything about both shows except for Garen.
Whoa.
I was like, Jesus Christ, good dude. I don't need to know that.
Enrique.
I know. He's a good guy, too, Gary.
I got to get through to him.
The weird thing
you got to get through to him.
What can I do?
You know what? Hurt yourself. Have him stretch out a little bit.
Yeah.
That'll get on his side. All right. We got another thing here.
Oh, okay.
This gentleman sat in the front row in Plano.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, in Austin, Creek in the Cave. He sat in the front row. He's got the white glasses on, so he's interesting. And I don't even say that negatively.
White frames. You love it.
You know how some people that works and others that doesn't?
Yep.
Worked on this guy.
Cool.
Looked good. Had a smile on his face. Blah, blah, blah. I do my usual horseshit. You know, what's your name? Brian with an I or a Y. Brian with an I. It looks like brain. All my fucking go-to bits. And then I said, I never ask people to do for a living, but you fascinate me, which, of course, is something I say 9 times a show. And then he said, I'm a designer. And I go, oh, anything that, I'm a graphic designer. I go, anything I know? He goes, I made a very famous logo. And I was like, anything I know? And he goes, yeah. I go, like Coca-Cola? And he's like, how old do you think I am? And then he goes, let me just say this. You see it every day. I'm like, every day? McDonald's? Burger King?
Wait, this is in Austin?
This is in Austin, Texas.
Okay.
And then he said, I'll tell you this. You guys ate the logo on a recent episode. And I said, did you? Oreos? And he goes, you're getting closer. I go, oh, did you design the shirt, the Oreo taste testing shirt? He goes, no, I designed the Never Not Funny logo.
You've never met this man in person.
I never met Brian in person.
Oh, that's funny.
So he gave
professional desire. By the way, his what he gave to us as far as the logos go, as professional as I've ever seen a logo
submission
presented. Yes,
I would say that all three finalists did a great job of that. They know what to do.
Yeah.
And there's other people that are just people that are. Hey, you know what? I do this in my house, and I have fun with it. And their submissions were also great. We did not really receive any bad submissions for that.
Sure.
But yeah, you could tell the people that are...
This is a person who's dealt with a corporation before to send them a logo.
Yeah, he gave us like a PDF that was maybe 15, 20 pages long that like walked through different variants.
I just finished reading it.
It had the color codes and like, here's what you do if it's, you're going to print it. Here's what's, here's the web version. Here's the horizontal version. Yeah, it was great.
I loved it.
Who's the fellow from San Diego that did our, the platinum one? Isn't he from San Diego?
Oh man.
What's that guy's name?
I can't recall.
He's great too. All great.
A name popped into my head, but I don't think it's the right name. It's just another guy who might have submitted something. Brett Euler.
That's it. I think Brett Euler.
Am I right?
Yeah.
I didn't think that. Okay.
But honestly, anybody, Abbott Skelding, that guy, Nicky Raccoon, who did the Snicky Snack shirt, and he's got some other stuff brewing for us. And
Rug Raccoon.
I got to tell you something.
So your joke got iced. Please reevaluate your life.
Your life.
You, Garen, don't change a thing. You're literally perfect. Garen rocks.
All right.
Why is there a bong noise?
Oh,
because of you. I was like, why is there a bong noise?
Because of our doper friend. All right. So anyway, so Brian gave two boxes here.
Okay.
He says to open this one first for the present.
All right.
Says for the present.
Okay.
Sure. Look at how professionally. This guy, not only graphic designer, professional rapper.
Look at the wrapping on that.
It's really good. Gorgeous. It looks like the size of a butter thing.
Well, yeah. I thought it looked like the size of like a Oreo snack box.
So you don't think it's butter?
I can't believe it.
I can't believe it. It could be margarine. There you go. I'm leaning on that our guest has forgotten to be here.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
Oh,
look at this. Simply Stamp. This is a custom self-inking stamp.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what we're going to use this for, but I love it.
Love it.
You need something to...
You need paper or something.
Well, what's great about this
What are you going to do? Go check. Just go check. Thank you.
When we, like, print out, like, release forms and stuff, instead of printing the logo, we can just stamp it on top.
There we go. Oh, look at how fucking great it is. Look at that.
Oh, gorgeous.
Wow. Look. Hey, Matt, do it.
I'm over here. I can't wait to do it.
Do one of them. Do one. You're gonna love it. You're going to love the feel of this thing.
Wow.
Gern! It's orange.
Yeah.
Looks great. How great does that look?
So crisp.
So satisfying.
Elliot, you just nailed it. It's crisp.
Yeah, whoever the company that makes these doesn't fuck around.
This is a custom self-inking stamp.
Simply Stamps.
Good for thousands of crisp, clean, and clear impressions, to use your word about crisp. This is the Printy 4924.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So if you're looking to get this, it's the Garen, if you're making a note on the for the notes, this is stamp is the Printy 4924.
Printy? P-R-I-N-T-Y?
That's correct.
Okay.
Look at that. You know what? We just fucking, when we do our SAG paperwork, it's not necessary.
No, they don't want it. Yeah.
It's almost like notarizing, and it's complete.
Put on the back of an envelope when you're mailing.
Oh, I like that idea. Boy, do I like that.
So do you get to open the one that says for the future?
Yes, he said then you open the one for the future, and it will make sense.
Okay.
That is what I've been told.
It seems like it's going to be another one of these stamps.
Do you want me to guess what it says?
Sure.
The Oliver Pardo podcast.
Elliot, you nailed it.
That is funny.
You absolutely nailed it. Look at that. Good guess.
This is going to make Jimmy cry.
Well, this is still the Printy 4924. it says it's the Oliver. You know what? I'll stamp it up for you.
Same color. Let's find out.
No, it's not. It's a... That's the future.
It's a gorgeous blue.
I did not. I'll be honest with you. I did not do that as crisply because the kid didn't earn it yet.
There's a few shots of someone doing that in the Phoenician scheme, and boy, is it satisfying.
Is that right?
Boom, boom. Oh, I love it.
It's nice. You know what?
I love it.
I didn't get Oliver a graduation gift yet. Now I have. Son, enjoy that. That's the Printy 4924.
He's going to love it.
That's awesome. Thank you, Brian.
That's so cool. Yeah, that's really cool, Brian.
That's awesome. All right, so this one goes to my son, Oliver. You've met Oliver.
I have.
Ow. And then this, I don't know where we put this, but it should not be in the box.
Is this a thing where, like, if it runs out someday, you can, like, refill the ink or change the ink out?
All I know about this, about the Printy 4924, is that it's self-inking.
Yeah.
I would imagine that you could, here we go. For tips and tricks on how to achieve the best stamp impressions, including on what types of surfaces you can stamp on, okay, what moron needs that? Visit our...
Where do I do this? My forehead?
I don't know what to do. Is this a good surface? simplystamps.com/blog. Somebody wrote a blog on this. They got a customer service number too. Maybe we should call them to find out if we could refill it. Hi there. You know what? We're doing it.
You're calling.
Oh,
I'm going to call the, I'm going to call and just say that we've got the printy 4924. And
what if it goes right to him?
It's his company.
Side hustle.
1-888. Wow, it's an 888, guys. 1-888.
Good luck getting through.
688-9998. Okay, here we go. Going to put it on speaker.
Hello.
Hi.
And thank you for calling Simply Stamped, a member of the Home Custom family of brands. For quality and training purposes, your call may be recorded.
What a coincidence.
Please wait one moment while we are waiting for our next available customer service ninja.
Ninja. All right. I might be out on these guys.
Pretty slick. Sick groove.
Thank you for calling Simply Stamps. This is Sunny. How can I help?
Hey, Sunny. Jimmy Pardo here. We're recording this on our end as well for quality purposes. Quick question for you. We've got the self-stamping, the self-inking stamp, the Printy 4924.
Okay.
And I'm curious, can we refill the ink once this runs out? Is that something that's possible? There's no instructions on here. We're just curious if we stamp enough and it starts getting dull, can we re-up the ink? Refill, I guess, the right word?
Yes, and we sell the ink that you would put in the pads.
You do. What's that ink sell for?
The pads.
What's it sell for, Sonny?
Let me see.
I should tell you this. We've used the stamper exactly once, so we may be getting a little ahead here. Yeah. Oh, how many do you think it gets? Sonny, that's it's a great follow-up. How many of the, it says thousands. You stand by that?
That's what I was going to say, thousands.
Okay, so that could be 1,001 or 900,000. Which one do you think is closer to?
I'm
going to
say 1,200.
1,200. All right. You know what? I'm going to put that. Sonny, I'm putting you down for 1,200.
Let's keep track. We're going to count.
And we're going to keep track. So far, we've done three.
Yeah, you told her you'd do one, good. But we did three.
Yeah, we did three. All right. So, Sonny, what does it go for?
So, the one-ounce bottle is $7.49, and the two-ounce bottle is $9.49.
All right.
That two-ounce one sounds like a good price.
Yeah, but based on this conversation with Sonny, I don't see us ever re-upping these things.
I mean, we're going to do upwards of one a month.
Yeah, that's true. We're not going to use it a lot, Sonny, but when we use it, no, it's going to be very important.
Okay.
Sonny, did I lose you? Where are you at? Hey, Sonny, before we let you go, first of all, you sound like a delight. Where are you guys based at?
Jacksonville, Florida.
Jacksonville, Florida. All right. And
why are you writing that down?
I don't know. I just wrote that down, Sonny, in the off chance I'm ever in Jacksonville. You know what? I'll tell you. I think my CPA is in Jacksonville.
Okay. What?
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah. So if you ever see Dave, let him know we talked. All right, Sonny, thanks a lot. Have a great rest of your day. You were very helpful. Thank you.
You as well.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, she was an absolute delight. Yeah,
she tolerated us.
she was true. She laughed.
With
she
a plum.
True to her name.
Yeah. She was a sunny presence on the phone.
Sonny!
I know Sonny came home.
What's that?
Sonny came home.
I was doing Sonny by, what's his name? Sonny! Think about da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Sonny! I don't know any of the words except for Sonny. Our guest has not even said I'm on my way or anything like that. I fear.
Do we have her phone number?
I might. So why don't we take a break? Let's throw the brakes on and take a break.
Yep.
Two different spellings on those. Mm-hmm. And then when we come back, you know what? If there's a guest, we might do a taste test. If there's no guest, we'll definitely do a taste test.
Mm-hmm.
If there is no guest, there's also more mail. So we could open up. So
we could do.
I'm not going to open up the mail if there's a guest, is my point.
Sure.
Thank you, Brian, for the stamps. Thank you for everybody that came out to the live shows. Truly do appreciate you guys all came.
And mostly thank you to Sonny.
Sonny! We'll be back.
Hey gang, Matt here with some dates for you. Casey St. Ange is on Instagram at InstaCase. That's C-A-I-S, InstaCase. And you can check out our podcast, Busy Phillips is Doing Her Best. That's the show that Casey co-hosts with Busy Phillips, obviously. Also, they have a show on QVC. You should check that out, too. It's called QVC's Busy This Week. You can find that online at QVC's website, or there is an app to watch it on if you want to watch it on your smart TV or whatever device you own. Check it out. They've got some great guests coming up, and they've had some great guests in the past, and you can watch, I think you can watch all the episodes right there on the app. So do that. And then check out Jimmy Pardo. He's going to be at the Mic Drop in San Diego on June 19th. Matt Donaher will be opening, so that's one other reason to go to San Diego, or if you're near San Diego, go to this show. And there may be a young Pardo in the car with Jimmy on the way down to San Diego, and who may show up on stage at the Mic Drop that night. So June 19th, you want to check that out. San Diego, show up strong and show up proud. What? June 20th, the very next night, Jimmy Pardo is hosting Pop Culture at the Ice House in Pasadena. And then July 10th, he's at Levity Live in Oxnard, California. That's a Thursday. So got on out there and enjoy Jimmy and enjoy the rest of the show.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the program. 36-0-0-0-O'Reilly. Casey's here. Hey, Casey's Hey Nonsense is the founder way to our studio. As we talked about in the previous segment, I was looking at my phone to see if I was getting a text or an email as to where she was. And turns out you got the day wrong. What happened?
I thought it was tomorrow. I was at the DMV.
Department of Motor Vehicles.
Yeah.
And you comfortable saying what you were doing there?
Yeah, I was just trying to register my late mom's car.
So your whole family's late. That's just the theme your family does?
Yes, she's very late. She's not coming at all.
She's never going to show up.
No, she will not be here.
When did she make that decision to not come here?
December 22nd, 2022. I think she decided she's not doing this podcast or anything else ever again.
You know, my mother passed away on December 31st.
Oh, really?
Of 2017. But still, my point is, within that, it's very similar, within those 10 days. So it's like, and by that, I mean around the holidays.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to not think about your mom dying when it's like, oh, Hanukkah and Christmas and New Year's are
coming.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And she loved Christmas. And it was such a wild, I mean, is this fun podcast content? It was like, my family had been so careful in the pandemic. We never went anywhere. We all wore masks. We went to one holiday party, stayed outdoors, only talked to people across a fire, and somehow my entire family got COVID.
From that party.
It had to have been.
So who brought it into the mix?
I don't know.
One of your cousins? A dumb cousin?
No idea. It was like a Hollywood party, you know?
Oh,
so someone fabulous who had probably been somewhere. Yeah. Anyway, we all tested positive for COVID. I had just tested positive COVID for like an hour before. The phone rang, and it was the hospital where my mom lived. And they were like, your mom had a health emergency. And the doctor was so nice. And he really did say, like, I just want to tell you, like, I could not picture her like surviving this. So, you know, so it's like a matter of time. But he was like, but she's comfortable, everything. He was so great. And then he called like an hour later to be like, I'm so sorry, your mom passed. And I was like, okay, thanks for letting me know. I just tested positive for COVID and I'm across the country. What should I do? And he was like, well, there's no rush.
Wow.
And I was like, yeah, true. But yeah. And then just a surreal, you know, you've been through it. It's just like a surreal tumble through life after that, trying to figure it all out.
Yeah.
How to get cars where they're supposed to go, empty houses, sell houses. I was saying that my mom didn't leave a will, so we had to go through like a probate process. That was nuts. It took years.
Do you have brothers and sisters as well?
No, it's just me.
So it's just you.
Yes.
And you still had to go through the probate where it's clear there's nobody else that she would leave this to, unless she left it to charity and did one of those things.
Exactly.
But she didn't.
And it was really interesting because she had like, I think she had written something down, maybe with like an accountant or something, that made it clear that that was her intent. And that was very helpful to us. But yeah, we had literally just had a talk about how she was like, after the new year, I'm going to talk to a lawyer, make a will, blah, blah, blah. I should have known the foreshadowing. She hung that gun on the wall. She didn't die by a gun. She just died by being 73 and American.
Gun.
Yeah, exactly.
My mom was 72.
Really?
So both of our parents, both of our moms died very young.
Dang.
That, I mean, 72 at one point was considered old, but
yeah, but now it's like, yeah, that's what everybody kept saying. Oh, that's too soon. That's too soon. And I was like, I mean, I guess, who knows? Who I'm not in charge of when people die.
I am.
You aren't? Yeah, I wish I would have talked to you first.
I did. Even as I was doing it, I was like, this is too soon, but I have to do it.
I know. Sorry. I get it. Listen, you're just doing your job.
I got a lot of paperwork. And it's just like, you know, this pile's not going to clear itself.
I got very lucky in that my mom lived near me.
Okay.
And didn't really have anything. It was it was a stressful 2 weeks still.
Yes.
But I couldn't imagine, you know, because I had to clean out her apartment, apartment and all that. But I can't imagine when it's time to clean out the house.
Yes.
Sell the house. Yeah. Sell the car. All that stuff just seems so overwhelming to me.
Yeah. Shout out to my older son because he is where he's at my mom's place right now on Cape Cod, like just trying to finalize because we did like an initial because she was a collector so she just had so much
when you say
stuff.
Collector hoarder or like was she did she collect something hobby wise specific?
She was like collector bordering on hoarder / definitely a hoarder.
That's a thick border. That's a very thick border.
When you collect things so much that they stack up and they might like crush you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that like maybe that kind of collector.
You're saying she's a hoarder border.
A little bit. Yeah.
A border hoarder.
So a border hoarder. Yeah. So she
What's the main thing that she has that
she
had?
Everything like antiques and she collected like pop culture items, so she had a ton of Disney shit. She's one of those people that I think for a minute believed that Beanie Babies were a good investment.
Who among us?
Yes. Yeah. Like historical novels she loved. So she had like a room full of bookshelves of those, just everything. And then she retired to Cape Cod. So she had a lot of like Cape Cod collectibles, which I didn't even know that existed, but like cranberry scoops and shit. So my poor son is just texting me like, is this cranberry scooper precious to you? And I'm like, no, I just want my wind-up toys,
I just want my Beanie Babies.
Yeah,
these things are going to pay off someday.
That Princess Diana Beanie Baby. I think she actually had it.
My mother also had a giant, one of those plastic, like Christmas ornament tubs.
Yes.
One of those things. She had one of those full of Beanie Babies. My mother was the same as yours. Thought, this will be my kid's inheritance.
Right.
I've got it all right here. She had the little plastic things that you put on their little name tags.
Yes.
To keep the
and then the acrylic boxes.
Yes. She had all of that, and I think I dumpstered them all. I mean, they're worth zero.
Worth the NFTs of the 90s. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yes.
Do you still have them?
Maybe. I don't know. I told my son that I just trust him and whatever he thinks, because my son he's a reseller, furniture flipper, sells vintage clothes. So he kind of knows like what at this moment is worth something versus worthless, and like what's diminishing returns, like in terms of like, well, this is worth something, but if you can't find a customer for it, it's just costing you money to hang on to it. So,
What about an estate sale? Have you thought about an estate sale? Open up the doors, let people go in there and get rid of things quickly.
We did kind of do that when we went east to have my mom's funeral, because we had my mom cremated immediately, like when she passed in December, but then we didn't go east to have her actual like celebration of life funeral, you know, because it was the holidays, and as I said, we had COVID. So we waited until spring came, and then we chartered a whale watch because that was like my mom's favorite thing to do. So we chartered a whale watch, and it was really actually a really, really super cool experience, and worth the way too much money that we paid to do it. And they had like sort of the charter captain, like we just hired a boat in the town that she lived in Hyannis, Massachusetts. And they were like, yes, it's all set. Like we put a deposit. And then the captain of the boat emailed me and he was like, I had a feeling when I saw this come in, I just had like a gut feeling that I knew who this person was. And then I looked up like her obituary that you wrote, and he was like, your mom sailed on my boat all the time. And like, I knew her.
Oh my gosh.
I knew her. Hmm. And I was like, oh, that's great. Like, this is kind of meant to be. And so they opened up like a week early because it wasn't a regular whale watch. And when everybody showed up at the dock, he gave this like amazing, like as close to a sermon as like a whale watch boat captain, you know, just talking about how he first saw my mom in terrible weather down at the end of the dock, like looking out to sea, trying to photograph, you know, whatever creatures she could find, because that was totally her thing. And he really did know her, and it was very cool. And then they had kind of warned us, like, it's before the season, so we're probably not gonna really see whales, but we'll get you out far enough where you're allowed to like throw the ashes in the water and legally, because there's laws about that. Mm-hmm. Which who would know until you go to do that? But it was very cool to see all my mom's like photographer friends with their really long lenses on the boat. And then there were so many whales, even though it wasn't whale season. And like, we put my mom's ashes in this, like, it's called a bio urn. It's like a biodegradable urn, and you like glue the ashes in there. It was supposed to be nautically themed, but it looked like a fried egg. But so it was just this big fried egg that my sons and I went to like toss over the side of the boat, but I still haven't watched it. It was videotaped, like the crew taped the entire thing, and people certainly took pictures, and I still haven't looked back at the pictures or the video. But everyone described to us that when we were putting the ashes in the water, all of the whales that were around the boat kind of like just came up and like watched and waited. Wow. Yeah, it was really cool. It was really cool. Wow. And everyone was like, that was surreal and super moving. And yeah, so anyway.
You put that anything right in the blowhole? Is that good?
yes. We definitely killed some whales, yeah. I'm
you
sure.
Know what? Your mom would have liked it that way.
She would have liked it. Yeah. She would have felt powerful.
Yeah.
No, I like to imagine my mom doing whatever, hanging with the whales, you know.
And just so that I'm clear, that's why you're late? I'm just trying to really, that was the question. Like,
long story, that's why I'm late.
Okay. Your mom died in 2022.
And yeah. I was at the DMV finally today. Today is the day. I was like, I'm going to go to the DMV and like get my stuff together.
Did you get it done?
No.
You had to leave because
I left because
I
was
texted
like,
you.
The line was like forever, and I was like, I'm going to have a happier day if I go to that podcast.
Yeah.
You know?
This one or another one?
This one. The one this after one. This is the only podcast I like.
Oh.
Well.
What about yours?
I said what I said.
You heard her.
I like my podcast too, but I'm like, it's not for me to say.
What's it called? Busy Time?
It's called Busy Phillips is Doing Her Best.
Okay.
And
not the one I listen to Busy Time.
Busy
I'm
Time
listening to the
is,
wrong one.
Yeah,
like, probably where's Casey?
It's probably the wrong one. Busy Phillips is my co-host. She's an actress. I think you know her.
We do.
You guys?
We don't know. I don't know her, but I know of her.
I feel like you would know her. I feel like she would say she knows you guys.
She would come to the Largo shows and stuff. But she's never done this show. She's welcome anytime.
What the heck, Busy?
Yeah, I don't know. We have a connection to her. Maybe that person could pass a note along.
I'll pass a note along. She does live in New York City now.
She's out.
So she's out there. And so, but
no, I mean, she's out. She's not doing our show.
Oh, she's, yeah.
We don't accept New Yorkers.
No New Yorkers. Okay. All right.
We've told Patti LuPone and Mandy Patinkin, no thank you.
You know what? I think that's a good decision because I think they're both overexposed right now. Mandy and Patty.
Well,
they're getting too much good press and bad press.
I'll tell you this, they are welcome on this show anytime. Those are the two remaining, and Steve Perry. Those are the three remaining for me.
For you?
For me. And Tom Hanks.
Hanks.
But those, Tom Hanks would, those three are over Tom Hanks.
Okay.
For me.
Yeah. Okay.
Mandy Patinkin, Patti LuPone. And who's the third one?
Steve Perry.
Yeah, those are the three that would be. And then probably Hanks, and then throw somebody else in there for the top five.
Where does Ted Nugent?
Kaczynski? Oh. Ted Nugent, you know what? I mean, he's top 10.
Of course.
He's top 10. Yeah, I mean, you got a true American like that. You don't turn him away.
Yeah. Right. We don't talk music.
We only talk about what's happening in this country.
Politics.
and then we all ask him to take out one of his many guns and kill us all. Because I don't want that ever to be published.
That'd be a heck of an ending.
That would be an ending.
That would be.
You know what?
Yeah.
Maron's ending his show. Maybe Maron does it.
That's a good point. That's a good idea.
You know what?
You're very generous to give Mark Maron a good idea. Like
well,
that.
I don't want to end our show. And he says
right.
he's
and
ending
he says
his.
He says he's ending it. So
if you're going to end it.
He's got time to plan it.
Go out on top.
You know what do you think his last guest will be? Do you think he has that planned out?
Maybe the guy who buys you coffee for him? You know, he loves his coffee.
Yeah, he does.
Who would be his last guest? I mean, he's had everyone.
Who was his first guest? Do we know that? Remember that?
I don't know.
Has he had Michelle Obama?
He had Barack.
He has.
Right.
He definitely had Barack Obama. I think he had Michelle.
Did he have Michelle? I know Conan O'Brien had Michelle on.
Yeah, okay. More than once, I think.
Is that right?
I think so.
Jeff Ross was his first guest.
Oh, wow.
So they started... Hopefully it picked up after that.
I feel like Michelle's doing all the podcasts right now.
Yeah, she was on Amy Poehler's.
Well, not all. I can tell you. We don't have to, let's not use the word all in this that sentence. She is also welcome here anytime. We welcome all the first ladies.
You guys could talk Chicago stuff.
Yeah,
that's true.
We could.
I think she would get this.
She would have a ball here.
Yeah.
They all would.
Because I've seen her have a sense of humor on television.
Mm-hmm. She's very funny. Did you see her talking to Beyonce's mother, Tina? And they were talking about how sometimes you just had to fight someone in your neighborhood to prove that you could hang.
No.
Oh, my God. They were both talking about girls that they were beat up by and who they had beat up.
Really?
Yes. Wow. It was very entertaining conversation.
That's great.
And that's because in the circles I travel in, that's because Michelle's a man, right?
Oh!
She would fight.
Oh, don't. You're going to get canceled.
I'm not. I'm quoting these others.
It's true.
Fucking assholes.
He's just asking questions,
that.
Casey.
Just asking questions. I'm just trying to figure it all out.
Yeah.
Right? It's all, the aliens are among us. There's no question about it.
Sure.
Girl, I've been thinking about it.
Thank you.
The aliens?
The aliens, and is this a simulation? And
what about this whole Biden clone thing? You got to be on board with that.
Oh, my Robot God. Clone. Listen, you know what I always think? I always think every accusation is an admission.
Yep. Sure.
And I think that a video came out yesterday of a certain someone, and it looked a little like AI to me. I'm not an expert.
That. I didn't see
of
it.
Who? Which, of Trump?
Yes.
Which video is this now?
He was saying where there's new travel bans or something.
Oh, and you thought that one was maybe a little AI-ish?
I didn't think it was definitely real.
Really?
Well, do you remember when he got COVID
they
put out a video, and I swear to God, it looked like Max Headroom meets Will I Am hologram vibes. And it was glitching, and it was he was just emanating from a little disc on the floor or something. And I was this is not real. I remember my own hysterical laughter. I was this is not a real video of the real president.
Well, it's interesting you say this because there's the rumor because he was not around since last Thursday.
Right.
So there was 5 days where nobody.
All the TikTok psychics are he's gone.
Yeah. Wouldn't that have been great? Let's go. Let's just get to that. Let's get to the remembering President Trump. Let's get to that. Let's spend a fucking week doing it.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting is, okay, so this is the point of manifestation and quantum physics and multiple timelines and all of these things. That's also my entire TikTok feed when I look at it, is that I think if I'm understanding correctly, they're saying there is a reality where everything that we're saying is real. Every possibility is actually.
Sure. There are scientists who.
In the multiverse.
Right, right.
There's infinite universes.
Yes,
they're also
nuts.
Yes.
The scientists aren't saying, they aren't doing the nutty side. This is just based on quantum mechanics that it has to be true. The math says it has to be
what
true.
What are Scott Bakula's thoughts on this? He was in Quantum Leap.
But he has the Swiss cheese brain from all the quantum leaping. So he's not a reliable narrator.
Don't go to Scott then.
Don't go to Scott Bakula. Is Dracula involved in this?
Dracula is, he lives on. We know that.
Sure.
But you know what I wanted to say is I was watching my TikToks, and then one, people were my TikToks are they're the new My Stories. Yeah,
What's up, Grandma?
Yeah, I was watching my TikToks, and of course, once you pause on something, TikTok's oh, she loves this, give her more. And so many TikTok psychics and astrologers are he's gone, he passed over, whatever we're seeing now is fake, whatever, which I'm okay, I can appreciate that on an entertainment level. But when I was traveling, I was just in New York for two months for work. And when I was traveling home, I saw a TikTok where somebody was when it happens, people are going to put up Christmas lights. And I was what a weird, it was freaky and horror movie-ish. It reminded me of
Stranger Things?
No. You know what it reminded me of? There's the most freaky thing that ever happened in a movie. What's the SEAL Team 6 when they got Osama bin Laden?
Oh, yeah. Zero Dark Thirty.
Zero Dark Thirty. Yeah. There's in the movie when they like infiltrate Osama bin Laden's compound and just one of the SEAL Team 6 people whispers, Osama. And that has scared me for the rest of my entire life. It's the scariest thing I've ever seen in a movie is a SEAL Team 6 guy whispering, Osama. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's what this, like, when it happens, people are going to put up Christmas lights. And, like, it felt like that kind of, like, freaky scary.
Yeah.
So it resonated with me and gave me shivers. And then when I got home, the Christmas lights were on my house. Like, my husband had turned them on to, like, welcome me home. And I was like,
oh, wow. But he didn't know you saw that.
He didn't know I saw that TikTok.
It's all coming together, guys.
So he's dead.
I guess
we've lost
front.
Yeah.
It's like when they pick a new pope. But instead of smoke, it's Christmas lights. I think actually, though, that would be a nice, subtle way to not be a dick about celebrating.
We all just put up Christmas lights?
Gentle. And weirdly, the Christmas lights were red, white, and blue. My husband had set them to
love this country.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Salute it.
It was so weird. So I guess what I'm saying, what I believe, tell me if you agree. Who's the smartest person in the room? Who would know?
Two people who arm wrestle over it. It ain't me.
But whoever loses is the winner because of smart people are weak.
Exactly. I feel like maybe there's a reality where it is true that he's no longer with us. And what's really happening is that we're trying to get to that reality.
We've been trying to get to that reality since 2016.
Yeah.
It hasn't really worked.
I just want to see it, you know, want to see what's going on there. But I don't know.
The only reason I mean, obviously it's not true, but the biggest indicator that it isn't true is that J.D. Vance hasn't put some type of a fireworks display on announcing his presidency.
Yeah.
Right.
Because there's no way that needy bitch isn't going to let everybody know immediately.
Gary, with the language now.
When he...
I agree with you. I know it's not true because I have not put up Christmas lights. So
there you go.
That would be the reason there.
I have a fictionalization of reality. You remember when they were talking about the Greenfield, the Green something massacre? And nobody knew what the hell they were talking.
Bowling Green?
Bowling Green Massacre. Mm-hmm. That made me think that because Trump is such a nexus of anxiety, that if there are multiple dimensions, that somehow he experienced a bunch of different realities at the same time with people coming from the future trying to murder him. And so in another reality, there was a Bowling Green Massacre that a bunch of the people in his sphere, like within 20 feet of him, were aware of. But then it locked back into where we are. Mm-hmm. And so that supports the idea that maybe there are other dimensions where different versions of this history are happening.
Yeah.
Right.
Not happening.
Right.
I know you're the smartest guy in the room. No offense, Matt. But
I think I just took the lead, actually. Yeah, you know, you might have for that ramble.
I don't know. I'm on board.
You want to call Alex Jones to finish this conversation?
Yeah. Let's figure it out.
He's not a good businessman.
We'll figure out the Kazam movie, too. Right?
Yes.
Because that's still a huge point of debate whether that happened or not.
Yeah. It didn't.
We had Sinbad.
Sinbad was in that chair. We talked to him about it.
I love Sinbad.
He was a nice man. He came in and he was nothing but joy.
Yeah.
So pleasant.
The best.
Yeah.
The best.
Very nice man.
He's always very sweet. I have never like hung out with him, but he's been on shows that I've worked on and he's always like just a peach.
Happy to be there.
You know, we talked about it, not when he was here, but you know, he became a punchline because of his pants and he seemed like he just was a people pleasing comedian. And admittedly, I'd only seen him on TV and I kind of was like, yeah, you know what? It's not my cup of tea, blah, blah, blah. And then I was hosting Best of the Fest in Montreal for the Just for Laugh Festival. And I saw, Sinbad's on. I'm like, oh, fucking Sinbad. And so he comes into the green room. Couldn't have been nicer. I introduced, please welcome Sinbad. And then he was hysterical for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, this guy's been unfairly maligned for 15 years.
He's legit.
He's a great comedian.
Yes.
And he came in here, and I think his Bluetooth was glued to his ear. I think he had trouble getting his Bluetooth back.
Well, he's living in the future. He's part cyborg.
It's the future. 10 years after Bluetooth went out.
It was like a 1998 model.
Isn't it funny how that happens? Like how... we didn't respect Sinbad because of his pants. That's like collectively, I say we, but also like when, what's his face? That guy that was running for president was like, yeah. And then that Howard Dean. And ended his whole campaign because he made like a weird noise.
Yeah.
And also, well, recently on the television show that I've been working on.
What show is this now?
This show is called Busy This Week. It's a late night show. It's on QVC Plus, which is an unusual place for a late night show, but that's where they'll let a woman have one.
Okay.
So that's where we're doing it.
And it's nightly or weekly?
It's weekly. And by weekly, I mean for like 14 weeks a year, because again, that's what women are allowed. And so huge shout out to QVC, who was like, you know what? We're a business. We can do things with our capital. And here's the thing that we want to do. We're interested in doing this. We had my old boss, Rosie O'Donnell, on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was like, great. She's, you know, coming on. And I invited her on and she was like, I can do it like tomorrow. Can you have me on tomorrow? And I was like, absolutely. She came on and she was so, so, so delightful and funny. And everybody was like, why did people not like her for a long time again? Like, I forgot. And I was like, it was fucking Donald Trump.
Oh, right. She was fighting with him.
Yeah, but she was winning. That's the weird part. Like, she was winning, but but still people turned on her for some reason.
Yeah. And I'm like, there's so many people we owe apologies to from the 90s through the 90s. Mm. And she's just one of them because she was outspoken. And like, a lot of people are outspoken, but for whatever reason, people took great offense to when she was outspoken, but she was kind of right about everything. So
I think people also it didn't affect my life in any way, shape or form, but when she would do the whole Tom Cruise is a cutie patootie. And then when she came out as gay, it angered people that she pretended on the show for so long.
Can I tell you something? She legitimately had a crush on Tom Cruise. I'm going to say
there's no reason why you still could. George Clooney.
Exactly.
Like, I'm happy. I'll tell you who's cute.
Exactly.
Who's handsome.
Just that kind
doesn't
of
thing. Doesn't mean I want to fuck him.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it was funny because we had...
I may want to fuck
him. Well, I'm going to... If given the opportunity...
For the story alone.
For the story.
Are you kidding me? And I insist he does it on Broadway. We do it on CNN Live.
But watch out, Jimmy. He loves pranks. You don't know what's going to be
careful.
Under those
be careful.
I go in there and I get chattering teeth.
You're like,
oh,
my cock.
Gosh.
You get up afterwards and you go into the bathroom and there's a bucket of jizz that dumps on your head.
Bucket of jizz.
More jizz?
Yeah.
That you've been collecting for months.
This like, is Clooney collected his jizz. Yeah. Yes. I should have said cum.
Damn. You didn't even want to have sex with you. It was all just a setup for the
jizz. Joke.
Somehow Ryan Stiles is involved.
Well, it's his jizz.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah. He had other people pitch in.
You'd have to fill the bucket.
The pranks.
Not in 19 years.
I don't know. How do you guys feel about pranks?
They're horrible and stupid.
That's what I'm sort of feeling like. And I feel like there should be like an approval committee for pranks, especially if they're going to be televised.
A televised prank should be approved.
Yeah. By like some psychologists maybe, and like who are you doing this for?
What type of prank are we talking? Is this like the one where we pretend like your car is smashed and it's not really blah blah, or is it one where it's just I'm trying to think of a simple prank.
I just feel like all pranks are never like they're never for the benefit and joy of the person being pranked.
Don't you love how the person laughs? Like the person doing the prank, when they reveal it, they start laughing like it's the funniest thing in the world, and they don't understand why the person being pranked isn't laughing as hard as them.
Yeah.
Because like, you've made me look a fool.
Yeah.
How about that for a reason?
And I'm scared to death. My guts are between my feet right now. It's not nice.
Wait, wasn't there, I feel like there was something, now I forget what it was, but wasn't there somebody who figured out how to do like a positive prank where it's like, it's a prank, but the outcome is like, oh, that's joyful and nice. And instead of being like, oh, you made me look stupid and I was scared for a minute. And now I guess the only upside is it's not real. So I can be relieved, I guess. Or
yes.
The helpful relieved. Honda guy?
No.
Maybe. I don't.
In a way, that is a prank, though, because like what happened to our friend Gary Lucy, they approached him in a parking lot and he's like, holy shit, here we go. My kid's getting college money. But they said, can we help you put the bags in your trunk? To me, that's a fucking prank.
You thought you were about to get a year's worth of gas, and instead
it's like, I'll do that for you. Yeah. There we go. Helpful Honda guy. See you again.
Not enough help, Honda.
At all. In fact, you've hurt.
Hurtful Honda.
The Hurtful Honda. Oliver, my son Oliver and I, years and years ago, we saw a prank. It was on the Saturday morning baseball show, whatever. And it was some baseball players were out eating dinner. And the prank was, I'll say A-Rod was pranking Frank Thomas. And the prank was that they would bring the soup would be, I'm getting this wrong, but this is the basic gist. The soup would be cold. And then Frank would go, hey, my soup is cold. And then they go, oh, I'm sorry, sir. And they'd bring another one and it would still be cold. And so, like, again, it wasn't specifically that, but it basically was as lame as that.
Yeah.
And, it's still cold. Oh, here we go. And then, oh, it's still cold. And it's still cold. And then, you son of a bitch, we're pranking you. And nobody's having fun with it.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, it's not really a good prank.
Right.
And second of all, but A-Rod just is, I don't even think it was A-Rod, but whoever it was, is just laughing like they can't believe they pulled it off. And Frank is just sitting there going, I just wanted my soup.
Just wanted some warm soup.
It's so lame.
That's the problem is, like, in order for there to be a big reaction, it has to be incredibly high stakes. Right. And that's where you get into, like, personally hurting someone. Yeah. But if it's low stakes enough to not to be relatively harmless, then it's not entertaining.
Right.
So
here's the one thing I will have to say, though. I love Jackass. Like, I don't want.
But is Jackass pranking? That's not punk.
Some of it is. They punk. They do some pranking. I mean, what do you consider a prank? They did a thing where they go into a hardware store and there's a toilet on display and a guy just takes a shit in the toilet. And
it's son did that in Home Depot.
Pardon me?
Yeah.
It wasn't for a show, though.
When he was, like, potty training.
Oh, okay.
He saw it. He got excited. Oh, there's a toilet on the pee.
Yes. I contend that my son is the reason Home Depot puts the toilets up because he whizzed in a Home Depot
That's
toilet.
Great. I like that it's innocent, though. Like, it's an innocent mistake that has hilarious consequences.
Yes.
But I will still, because of the tie-in, I will still call him a jackass. And you witnessed him do it.
No, I didn't. I wasn't looking. And then he was
then
like,
came over and said,
I used the potty. And I was like, what potty? Where?
did you tell anybody? Or do you
no,
run like
I hauled ass out of Home Depot. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry to those men that had to deal. At least it was little kid pee. That's not that bad, right? Like,
I don't know if it's any better.
It's just like juice and water, not like.
What
you know,
the shit are you talking about? It's still pee.
But it's not like you have a child. You've been peed right in your face, I'm sure. When he was a baby. Did that kid ever pee right in your face?
Of course.
And you lived. It's like, it's
not. I don't know. I've had a lot of health issues. Maybe that's what it was.
I would rather toddler pee in the face than adult pee.
Yes.
Well, it depends what you're into.
This is what I'm saying. Some people like that. Toddler pee is fairly innocent. I think it's weak.
I think we want to believe that's true. Yeah.
Non-toxic.
There's less of it.
I mean, there's less
small.
Of it. Small bladder.
The thing of it is generally speaking, unless you're over like 90, non-expected adult pee is probably a crime, whereas toddler pee is an accident.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
There's that element.
That's a good
to
point.
It.
There is that, Elliot.
That's a good point.
Elliot brings up a good point. He is.
He's
again,
really
no
the voice
Matt,
of reason.
The
yeah.
Yeah.
The voice
that's
of
the kind
reason
of,
today.
Yeah. That's the kind of intelligence we rely on him for.
That makes me want to put his face on a fucking sander.
Or for which we rely if I'm trying to sound smart.
Okay. Don't do that. That's the last thing you want.
You sounded like the Family Guy theme song for a second.
Oh, I don't watch that show.
I think they say on which like we rely.
Oh, really?
Yeah, something like that.
That's weird.
It's a fun opening.
I must have been a Family Guy because they want to rhyme Family Guy.
I've avoided that show for as long as it's existed, but my wife is working on a new Seth MacFarlane show, which they've announced it, so I think I can say this. They're making an animated series of Ted.
Yes.
And so the company she works for is doing the animation for it. And so we were like, well, we should watch. We never saw those. And so we watched the first movie and there's some funny in it.
Solidly
it made
funny.
Me laugh. And so then, we watched the second one and we're like, okay, not as good, but still some laughs. Then there is a live action series. Not only are they making an animated series, there's a live action prequel series.
Right.
Oh.
Which takes place in the early 90s when the Mark Wahlberg character is a teenager and Ted is still Ted. He's just a bear.
Ageless.
Yes, exactly. A timeless classic of a character. So we started watching that and it is, by the way, we have Fred Dana Gould and Aaron Lee write on it. And do you know Julius Sharp? Do you remember Julius Sharp?
Sure, of course.
Yeah. They all write on it
Maria Thayer writes on it, and Chelsea Davidson.
I don't know them, but I will say this show really funny.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm like,
where does it live?
It lives on Peacock.
Okay. All right. All right. I so disliked the second movie that I wouldn't give this a chance. But now that you tell me the people writing on it, they're all very talented people.
And you don't have to deal with Mark Wahlberg, which is nice.
That is nice.
The kid on it is great, by the way. He was on that show Parenthood. But now he's older, obviously. But
I understand people age. Except for Ted, I've been told.
Ted does not age.
Do you think Ted hangs out with Paddington?
Hey, that's a great question.
Paddington would tolerate him because he finds the joy in everybody.
That's true.
You know, I don't... what I'll say.
You think this is the time that Paddington turns?
I love Paddington so much, but you know how, like, sometimes we refer to other people as, like, star fuckers?
You think?
I feel like Paddington is like that to humans.
He's a little needy.
You know what I mean?
He's, like, trying too hard. Yeah.
Like, he's really into hanging out with humans and doing human stuff.
Oh, so you'd say he wouldn't want to hang out with another bear.
To hang out.
You didn't see the most recent Paddington movie then. He goes back and...
he goes back.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I do have to
see
that.
It's also not a good movie.
That's a shame.
I forgot about it. I was going to see it.
They blew it because, like, Paddington 2 beat Citizen Kane on Rotten Tomatoes as, like, the best film of all time.
Yeah. Wow. And then it is a very... It's for children.
You can't keep that level up forever. I mean, that's impossible.
You
can't make three Citizen Kanes in a row.
Right,
crazy.
Exactly.
It's crazy that they made two that were so good.
The first two
were great. The first one is, I mean, everyone talks about the second one.
I prefer the first one.
The first one is amazing. Like, yeah. I like them both, but...
I love the second one. They're both great.
The second one's got Hugh Grant, which is why...
Yes.
I mean, it's amazing.
Name a thing he's been bad in. You can't do it.
Can't do it.
He's so good, and he's so cranky and mean.
Yeah, I believe it.
That he just, like, saves handsome. It handsome. And
you know what? He's a cutie patootie.
He's a cutie patootie.
Certified. Did you see Heretic?
Yes.
Oh,
so good, right?
He deserved trophies for that. That's how good he was.
Yeah, he's so great. We just had... the episode hasn't aired yet, but we had the actress Jamila Jamil on our QVC show, and she told a story about meeting Hugh Grant in line for the bathroom on a train, and how she just said, "I love you so much." Like, when she walked by, she didn't, like, want to, you know, you don't want to ruin your moment.
Yeah, but when you're that beautiful, I think you're allowed to say whatever you want to anybody.
She's very beautiful, and she's more beautiful in person. She's, like, very tall, like, impossibly tall.
She's been here a couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've experienced that firsthand.
But I liked hearing that, like, Hugh Grant was her, oh my goodness.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she grew up in England, right? So he must be even, like, he's one of the biggest they've ever... produced.
Who's your oh my god person?
Oh man, I mean, like, there's different ways to go with it. I mean, like, if I saw Mark Hamill or Harrison Ford, that would be mind-blowing for me.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah,
I did a cold open sketch at Letterman with Harrison Ford.
Mm-hmm.
He kissed me in one of the takes. Is not the take that got used.
Yes.
Oh my god.
But I have, like, pictures of young myself with Harrison Ford and David Letterman cold open. Mark Hamill went to high school with my father in Japan.
What?
Wow.
My dad was, like, a real storyteller and, like...
Like, full of shit, you mean?
Full of shit a lot of the time. And when Star Wars came out, I remember I was so little that I just... Star Wars wasn't a thing to me that I was, like, super psyched about. So I wasn't that impressed by, he kept saying, the star of that movie, Luke Skywalker, I went to high school with him. And I was always just kind of like, whatever. And nobody could, like, envision the internet existing at that point.
Yeah.
And so when I was a young writer at the Rosie O'Donnell show, Mark Hamill was on the show, and that was also really pre widely usable internet.
Yeah.
And so I was like, may I speak to Mark Hamill? Because I just have an interesting thing I want to ask him.
Yeah.
And so I said, my dad has always bragged about having gone to high school with you. And he was like, yeah, Yokohama High School in Yokohama, Japan.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
I never knew that he grew up in Japan. That's crazy.
Yeah, they were military kids. Wow. I think my dad was, like, a year ahead of them. I think they were in The Music Man together.
Oh my god.
But anyway, yeah, he was really nice about it. And then subsequently, like, my dad passed away years ago, and there have been things that in retrospect I wished I asked him about growing up in Japan and or like the time that he spent in Japan. And I've reached out to Mark Hamill to be like, what did you guys like do after school? And, you know, and he'd be like, we went to record shops and we went to this. It was kind of like very American coded or whatever. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, he's been really nice to like answer questions for me. That's so nice. Anyway,
we shop for awesome blue jeans.
So I've gotten to at least chit chat with both of your.
Well,
oh, my God.
Thanks for rubbing that in my face.
Sorry.
Got any stories about the Beastie Boys you want to rub in my face?
That's a good question. I don't think I really... I've gotten, like... My friend's brother designed some of their album covers and, like, got me autographed, like, Extra Large. Do you remember their clothing brand, Extra Large? Yeah, I have, like, an autographed Extra Large shirt somewhere or something.
When I moved out here... I moved here in 96 and I was like, I made a beeline for that store.
Yes.
Where was that? Over in Los Feliz. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But what's that name of that street that goes up to the Greek? What is that street called?
Greek Street.
Greek Street.
The King of the Greek.
Hill. See, you're rocking that Greek from
the main drag.
Yeah, it's not Hillside. It's
Hill something.
Everybody know. You don't need to know the name of the street because everybody knows the street.
There was a delicious Chinese restaurant. On there.
There's a lot of good restaurants over there. Anyway, I was like...
Hilldale?
This is ridiculous.
Havenhurst?
That's... No.
That's at least a street.
Howard Hughes?
Still no.
Something.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Something. If only there was a way we could know.
It's not Los Feliz?
No.
I said it was...
Who's your oh my god?
Oh, Los Feliz Boulevard.
Los Feliz.
I don't like being put on the spot like this. Who is mine?
Yeah.
Well, Steve Perry. It happened. You met him.
Yeah, that was.
That's a big deal. I've met him too.
That was very exciting.
Yeah.
By the way,
yeah.
Steve Perry is currently doing it. There's an auction. He is auctioning off some of his personal items, and all of the proceeds go to the Altadena fire.
Oh, cool.
Victims.
Nice.
Are you going to buy something?
Well, I put in early and was outbid very quickly. And they, like the handwritten lyrics to Don't Stop Believing, last I looked were $9,000.
Whoa.
And so my...
actually, it doesn't sound crazy to me. I mean, it's a lot of money, but...
Is it the original, like, this was the first thing
I think he... Because I think he did three. He did Foolish Heart, Don't Stop Believing, and maybe Open Arm. No, Faithfully.
Wow.
Those are the three he did. And then he, you know, they're signed. And then everything's signed. You know, gold records, some album covers and that sort of thing, but they all got out of my price range very quickly.
I hate that. I've tried to bid on Prince ephemera in the past, and I'm always like, try to make a reasonable estimate of what this thing will cost. I tried to buy this like ID badge when he was the opener for Rick James tour, and I was like, I could maybe go up to like $2,000, and I feel like it went for like $20,000.
Jesus.
Ridiculous.
That's kind of what happened here. It's like, even though I don't need any of this because when I met him, he signed really everything I asked him
to
sign. And he was very kind about it.
Yeah.
So I don't really need any of this, but at the same time, it's like, you know what? It's for these folks that, if you give it to charity anyway, why not get something like this back? Mm. So I had a price that I was like, I'll go to this.
Yeah.
Thinking, there's a chance I'm going to get this. And then also getting a little knot in my stomach going,
right.
Can I really afford this?
Exactly.
What am I doing here? And then within seconds, three times.
It's over. Anxiety over. Yes. You lost.
It's like, oh, and then the, God damn it.
Right.
It's but you weren't sure you wanted to spend that. Like,
right.
They actually, and then, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and then I develop like some kind of like faux philosophy where I'm like, can you ever really own anything?
We're back to this.
Just atoms in the universe.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. But they had, speaking of the charities for the fires, the Beastie Boys custom jumpsuit, you know, sweatsuits, like the Adidas style, but they might have been Adidas, I can't remember. All three of them auctioned off, this was like a few months ago.
Did you bid?
No, because by the time I even found out about it, it was so crazy already, and I was like, I don't know. I lost, when I was young, I didn't have money, I was just like, oh, I want to collect things. And then now I'm older and I'm like, I don't want that stuff anymore.
You don't want to be a border hoarder.
I don't. Yeah. I don't know where to put it. I don't know what to do with it. It feels like, yeah. It's
on your wall.
Crazy.
One thing that was in my mom's vast collection of things that I had kind of forgotten about, and I was so happy to see it, and I don't know why she had it and I didn't have it. But when I worked for David Letterman, my first job in show business, Arsenio Hall also had a late night show. Mm-hmm. And do you know how he would wear those like custom leather jackets?
Yes.
He had one made for Dave that was like a late show Arsenio style jacket. And of course, Dave's not like wearing it around. He's like, you know, very conservative right. dresser. And so he had it in his closet. And when I was leaving the show and I was like, oh, he was like, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, I'm just going around like figuring out what of your stuff I'm going to steal and take with me. And he was like, I know you really love Arsenio Hall. You can take that jacket if you want. And I was like, oh, my God. Because, of course, like I was such a brat. I was like. Not a fan of the show. I worked. Not a fan. I was a fan, yeah. But you know. But I was like watching Arsenio. Mm-hmm. That was my show.
It was the cool. Thing
yeah,
to
it was
watch
the cool show. At that time, I loved yeah. Arsenio. And so anyway, he let me take that Arsenio jacket, and then I never wanted to wear it because I didn't want to ruin it.
Yeah.
And so I just had it like in plastic, and my mom just had it like right in her closet, and I was so happy to
wow.
to get it back.
I just want to be clear, Arsenio Hall.
Arsenio Hall.
Very good. Okay.
Yeah. Do you know him?
I met Arsenio a few times. Hey, Garen, two things, please. Go to that Steve Perry auction. Not now, because you have more pressing matters. I need a non-soupy Coke Zero, please.
Yes. Damn it, God 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 damn it, Jimmy. Jimmy needs a Coke.
There we go. Thank you, Doc Julian. Thank you, Garen. Appreciate that. And then when you come back here, check out the... the Steve Perry auction, and let us know where the Don't Stop Believing lyrics are, what they're going for. Yeah. Like I said, last I looked, $9,000.
It's a lot, but it's for charity.
It's a lot of dough. But then there's a signed, he's got like a signed guitar, a signed bass. We're only going for $2,500.
Yeah.
And to your point, are they the original written lyrics like from 1980?
Yeah. Right.
But, or did he sit down today and write them out?
Right.
Right.
To me, I don't know why, but from then... maybe worth $9,000 today. Yeah. I don't know, but at the same time, who gives a shit?
Like Elliot was saying, if the original piece of paper that he wrote the song on is auctioning off, it's worth way more than that.
Right.
I mean, it has to be. Yeah. But if it's just a thing he wrote out for the charity, then it's overpriced because that's like John Waite sells that on his website for $300. You want to, you know?
Oh, you get the missing. Yes,
missing
Elliot. Elliot.
We have to stop. My computer's frozen.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
Oh, good. Good heavens.
Good Lord.
Does she have time to go to the DMV? hey, everybody. A little blip there. We Elliot does not know what happened, but something happened with the video. Locked up or something?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right. But we're fine. Garen, I gave you a task. You had two tasks. One was to get me a delicious Coke Zero. It's successful. Very, it's icy cold and delicious. The other was to go to that Steve Perry auction and let us know what the handwritten lyrics, what are they going for?
Oh, Steve Perry. Oh, shit. I'm at the Joe Perry.
Oh, you're at the Joe Perry Project?
Yeah.
Well, those are much cheaper.
Money away.
Yeah. Joe Perry Project opening up for the Who at the Hollywood Bowl.
Now, does he play any Aerosmith?
I would say that he, if I had a guess.
Yeah.
If he's doing an opening set of nine songs,
yeah.
Four are Aerosmith.
That's fine then. If you're there to see who's he opening for?
The Who.
If you're there to see The Who and you get four Aerosmith songs from the guitarist of Aerosmith, that's a win.
I think you get Sweet Emotion.
Yeah.
Walk This Way.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Is he singing?
Love in an Elevator.
I don't think he does those. I think he does the 70s.
Dream on
and then there's one more. It's
who's singing?
I believe it's Derek. No, is it Derek St. Holmes?
Is it Derek St. Ange?
It's not, and if it was, it'd be spelled oddly. I don't think it's Derek St. Holmes. I forget who's singing, but it's somebody.
I mean, that's a big part, especially with Dream On. That's a vocal performance.
They may not do Dream On.
Yeah, that is kind of hard.
Because of that. All right, Garen, the Steve Perry auction. What are the hand-signed? Start with the lowest hand-signed lyric.
The lowest one is Foolish Heart.
Yeah. And it's going for?
$3,100.
All right.
All right.
$0.11. All right.
Now, does it say Does it explain this is not the original piece of paper, or is it? Or is it just, does it explain the provenance of this thing?
Yeah, there you
From
go.
Steve Perry's personal archive, this handwritten lyric sheet for Foolish Heart is a rare, deeply personal artifact from Steve Perry himself.
Yeah,
that's very vague.
Because you know that if it was the original one,
they would say,
yeah, I have a personal archive. Look, next to my toilet.
There you go. I'm not a big songwriter, but I've written some songs, and some of the songs you have like four or five different sheets where you rewrite it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you didn't like the way you wrote it the first time because you couldn't read it, so you made it clearer to show to somebody or whatever. Mm-hmm. It could be one of those.
If you saw the photographs of these, these are clearly three things that he sat down and wrote
on the same paper stock in the same hour.
Okay. Hey, Steve, write out the lyrics to these. We could get some money for the fire victims.
All right. Let me flip that script and say, you meet Steve Perry and he says, hey, I'll write you a copy of my lyrics so you can have it. Would you like that?
I would say, yes, I would.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what
money's
this is
for a good cause. And,
I'm not as upset about this not being the originals as Matt and Casey are. I'm okay with it.
I'm not upset. I just think it's overpriced. I mean, just, it's charity. I understand.
Okay, we're looking
at it. It's only overpriced if it's priced what you want.
I mean, that's in his handwriting. Right. So that does make a difference.
Yeah.
Someone's going to frame this thing, put it in their house, and then tell guests that these are the lyrics.
Right.
Now, here's what I don't like about this particular one. You see up in the upper right-hand corner, that's his signature.
Yeah.
There's plenty of space down at the bottom there where it could have fit in a little bit better.
Yeah,
like right here.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
He also on the cover of Frontiers, which I'm actually wearing that shirt.
Yeah.
It's very dark right here. He chose to sign there with a black marker.
And it's interesting.
And then he signed something else with a silver marker, so it's like, so you had the silver marker.
You had the silver. This is very, the way this looks with the signature at the top, it's very elementary school.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. You know?
Yes.
So like it's been a while maybe since he's handwritten.
You think he did this back in grade school? They are from the archives.
It's probably just the handwritten, he doesn't do handwritten documents very often. No. And he just, you know.
Do any of us? To be fair?
Exactly.
All right, Garen, that's
fair. You'll see where he signs this one.
All right, that was faithfully. And this is Foolish Heart. Where's the signature on that one?
Yeah.
These look exactly. Wait,
is there a little
look bit close?
Is it
to the bottom right?
Bottom right and all sloppy. Yeah, see? Come on, Steve.
What's going on here?
Plenty of room there, Steve.
What is this guy's problem?
Does he have scribbles on there?
Also, what if it was the original, it wouldn't be signed. I mean, he could sign it later, but it would not be the same pen.
Yeah. This
is not the original.
I will not talk in class lines. Yeah.
I will say I kind of like there's some like it's almost like musical notation markings where he's got a little X and then a number.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that there's like maybe those are the repeats.
Yeah.
That's cute. He knows what he's doing. He's a pro.
Steve gets it.
Yeah.
Three X, baby.
So faithfully goes next, right? Foolish Heart was 3,100.
Faithfully is next.
And that goes for how much?
That's an even 6,000.
At the moment, it's going for 6,000.
Yeah.
And when does this auction end?
The 13th of June, I believe.
Okay.
7 days, 23 hours, 28 minutes.
So you still have time, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Those are going to go. Do you think they'll stall out or go like sky high?
I think that those will end up around 7,500, would be my guess.
Okay.
You know there's going to be snipers on this shit.
Sure.
Boom, 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 boom.
Fuck them.
His Escape Ampex Golden Reel Award that's signed is going for $1,600. You want that?
I don't. I don't. The things that I wanted are, again, they're out of my price range. That was not one of the things I wanted. And then the lyrics for Don't Stop Believing are going for what currently, Garen?
$9,100.
Wow.
And 1 cent.
And 1 cent. So somebody came in with $100.01 over the last time I looked at it.
Price is Right rules.
Yeah. And then where's that signed, Gary? Where does it? Because that one actually looks pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah, that one's.
Let's see it.
That one's.
He knew that was going to be the premier offering. Yeah.
It right down there. See, that's where they all should be.
Yes.
Steve.
That one where he signs in the lyrics. What are you doing?
I'll tell you what he's doing. He's about to give $50,000.
That's right.
To the Altoona fire victims.
Yeah. That's amazing.
So that's. That is a very very giving thing to do. He's a nice man. By all accounts, a very nice man. He was nice when I met him. Couldn't have been nicer.
I just remembered I have collectible-wise that it wasn't an auction or anything fancy like that, but when the TV show Arrested Development ended, the first time it ended, you know, they do this in L.A. a lot where, like, a thing ends and then there's just you'd go to a warehouse in the valley and everything is for sale.
Yeah.
And I got, like, a menu from the diner where George Bluth I think he ate there a bunch. Like, you'd see it repeatedly in the show. I got a menu from there, and I think it was like, you know, $20, $25 yeah. or something like yeah. that. But that's kind of a fun thing.
Where's it at now?
It's in a drawer in my house or a box, maybe.
This is what I'm saying about the theory of, can you really own anything? You put it into a drawer. It's like, then it becomes Schrodinger's cat.
Yeah.
Is it really in there? And but then you're going to die and your kid has to figure out what to do.
They'll be like, what is the? They won't know what it is.
Exactly.
For sure.
That's kind of how I feel. We've talked about it before, about all of my signed albums from various rock stars over the years.
Yeah.
But when I die, and let's assume that we'll be in 30 years. So, you know.
I'm rooting for 40.
Oh, no, I'm not. I don't want to be alive at 99. I think that's going to be hard.
You don't want to hit the balloon year?
I don't know what that means.
99.
I want you.
Oh, the balloon year. Yes,
I want
I
you to get yes, wished a happy birthday on the Today Show.
Yeah, I was about to say by Fred Willard. By Willard Scott.
By Willard Scott and Smuckers.
Who might be dead.
Well, now it's that Al Roker. Yeah. Right? Doesn't he run his mouth? Mm-hmm. So here's the deal. So I always think about, like, yes, there's a signed Dark Side of the Moon by Roger Waters, which if I sold it today would make a bundle. But when I don't want to sell it. I want to have it.
Right.
And so then it's my son's responsibility in 30 years to do away with that. And in 30 years, a signed Roger Waters, I think, is worthless.
Yeah.
I don't.
Everybody who cares is gone.
They're all gone. Anybody that would want it is gone. There's no doubt about it.
There is like a resurgence of interest in classic rock in your 20-somethings.
But not enough that you would drop some dough on a signed Roger Waters.
Because it wasn't.
He's also an asshole. So, I mean, that doesn't. It doesn't help.
But in 30 years, no one will think about that he was an asshole. It's just I think that is actually one thing where that's a timeless album. I think there will still be some interest in it in 30 years. Like
maybe I used a bad example.
Because that's it's one of
my
the best
Boomtown selling, Rats album.
Yeah, there you go.
Is like the Bob Geldof signed album. If I put it up there today. Yeah.
Right.
It might be interesting. But basically, Oliver will bring it to Amoeba, and they'll go, yeah, we don't need this. Mm-hmm. We don't need this.
Right.
But which brings us to Elliot's great idea, is what if I just made copies of these album covers? Mm-hmm. And I know that they were originally signed in my presence, mm-hmm. but if I made copies and put them in the frame, they're still on display. They're still nostalgically pleasing, whatever I'm trying to fucking do.
Yeah.
And then I sell the originals.
I thought you were going to say nostalgically delicious.
They are, and they're magically displayed.
Yeah. Let me extend that idea and say nothing is preventing you from printing out the photos of these lyric pages and putting them on your wall as well.
Yeah,
it's I mean, if you just want to remember it.
What if I did that and I gave you $9,000 to do it for me? Wow. I don't have the proper
That's crazy.
Printer.
Sure,
huh? Deal.
Hey, speaking of delicious, don't you have something we could try?
Sure.
He might do that for free, by the way. I don't think you need to pay him $9,000.
Yeah,
just.
What if I give
you that out there?
That's what I did with the Prince ID. I just downloaded the picture and I have it in my camera roll. And I'm like, now I own it.
Is there a photo of him on the ID?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's pretty great.
Yeah.
What year was that he opened for Rick James?
I want to say 1979, maybe. Uh-huh.
That does make it better if it's got his photo on there.
Yeah.
Photograph.
It's
really cute.
So I do have some Oreo and one Oreo adjacent item.
All right, let's just do the Oreo today.
So do you want to go light or dark?
I'm going to say light.
Light because of Oreo teeth are socially bad.
Yeah.
So do you want me, you want to guess what this is?
We're going to guess the flavor, yeah.
You're going to guess the flavor. Okay, great. So here we go.
All right, here we go. Again, this is a segment that I would say 88% of the people enjoy and 12 hate.
Yeah.
12%.
That sounds about right. I think it feels like, we just want to acknowledge, it feels like this is when the music should be playing, but we also acknowledge the music has to play when we eat the cookies so that people don't
see
it.
Was I not supposed to see this package?
So people don't get...
Well, I mean, it's hard not to look at it.
I didn't see it. I saw that it was yellow. That's all I saw.
Okay.
And so was the cookie.
But you know what? The original, the golden Oreo is in a yellow package, and that is not this.
And but the outside of this does look just like the golden Oreo.
So it's the filling that is our flavor.
Which Tina Fey likes a golden Oreo. That's what I learned recently.
You have in common with...
You love... Okay.
I think it's number 3 at the moment.
I think she likes the golden Oreo because of Oreo teeth. I think she likes to get a little treat when she's on set without having to get a dental clean.
Got it.
I like it because the original Oreo is too chocolatey for me.
Too chocolatey.
Too chocolatey.
Too much chocolate. The chocolate filling. What word am I looking for, please?
Overwhelms.
Yes, but what I want a fancy word here. and you two are smart. You keep telling me.
I'm not sure what's the ratio.
The chocolate to the filling, the proportion.
Yes, I agree with that. That's why the double stuff's better, because it evens that filling out a little bit.
All right, hit the theme so we can chew.
Yeah, and you know, I want to also acknowledge that Irmo spearheaded the purchases of all these snacks.
Okay, yeah. Irmo,
excited about it.
Play the fucking music. Good, Irmo.
Oh, 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 Oreo. Taste and you'll remember Oreo. Expired last September. Oreo. Which flavor will they taste today? Garen sucks.
Someone from Hollywood released a baked good special edition. So here's our mission. We went to buy them so we could try them. We're tasting cookies.
Right. I'm gonna land that. That's clearly lemon.
It's clearly lemon. Clearly delicious. I loved it.
Garen hated every second of it.
I do not like lemon flavor.
Really? You don't like lemon flavors. You don't
it's
like
very
lemon.
Subtle.
What about lemon heads? Mm-mm. You don't like the candy lemon heads? Mm-mm. Dude, you are on the fucking thin ice about getting fired here every week.
Nah.
This is the closest you've come.
I can eat a lemon head. I just don't enjoy it.
Oh, you don't like the softness of the outer that are the hard in the middle, and it's all lemony and sour. Oh, it's delicious.
Well, and to me, actually, that's the downside of this cookie. I don't hate it, but it's not lemony enough to me.
It's too subtle.
Hmm. I thought it was just right. For the cookie, for a cookie?
Yeah. I mean,
we like that character at all?
No, I don't.
For a cookie, I mean, it's a perfect amount of lemon taste. So is it just that, just flat lemon?
It's yes.
I know you keep guessing lemongrass sometimes.
No grass involved here.
Well, it was a Japanese flavor. That's why I thought lemongrass.
Yeah, oh, that was the matcha, I think.
Got it.
So it's just lemon?
It's just lemon cream.
Lemon cream.
So lemon cream, which is the reason why it's sweeter. Where if it was just straight lemon, I would imagine it would be tartar.
Well, I enjoyed that. I thought it was delicious.
Nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
I'm so it's close good. To taking
Not
Garen
mad
to that
at it.
Wood chipper no. that I'm going to throw Trump's body into.
Wow.
Yeah, you're going to follow him up. Who else did I say I'm throwing in the chipper? There was somebody else.
First of all, that chipper's not getting through
Nate
through
Silver.
Trump.
Oh, yeah, Nate Silver. Silver. Yeah, all right. So first is Trump goes in, then Nate Silver.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to unclog Garen. That tie is going to get
through. Oh, yeah.
That's going to clog things up.
Ties.
So then I got to stop it, press reverse. The tie comes back out. I pull it out. Then Nate Silver goes in there. We shred that motherfucker. And then number three, it's fucking anti-lemon Garen.
Oh, Jesus.
Anti-lemon.
Do you ever see those, like, sometimes you see a random video on the internet of those metal crusher machines where you could just put an entire refrigerator in and it just eats
it's just gone.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's, I think you need maybe upgrade for Trump, because I think the wood chipper is going to have trouble with him.
I'm going to tell you this, and I mean this sincerely, and I appreciate the suggestion. And Garen made a similar suggestion. I don't have the money for it.
Well, you don't have to buy one.
I've got a money for it.
You have to find one.
Yeah.
It's easy, and lure him to it.
It's easier to find a wood chipper.
Okay.
I'd
say. Sure.
And
that's
B,
true.
I just give my gardener a couple of. I give him a fact machine and I'm good to go.
Okay. Yeah. 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 Well, you do. They have those ones that drive around the neighborhoods, like the city owns the ones that they
stop by. Hey, wait a minute. That's not wood. Trust me. It's for the betterment of the country.
And it's the color of wood.
Even those office shredders that'll shred a CD-ROM.
Yeah.
Maybe one of those.
I'll put him in.
I mean, that could at least
take a little time, but
him.
Yeah.
Gonna take a little time.
If you put his hand in that, and then take it out, and then he just bleeds to death.
What if I said this to him? What if I said, dude, just put your hand in there, and then...
If
you promise to...
Putin did it.
If you promise to resign, it will not be your full body.
Yeah.
Do you think he says yes?
Mm.
I don't think he does.
Put his tie in it.
It's like a cartoon, and he gets like, sucked in.
Chokes him out. Yeah.
Well, we know he's a liar, so he'll probably say yes.
And then
he'll
not.
Let him go, because you're an honest man. And he'll be like, I gotcha.
Yep.
Oh, you did get me.
And then I think you say don't put your hand in it, because remember when he looked at the sun?
Yeah.
During the eclipse?
The dumbest man alive. Hey, here's the one thing you shouldn't do. There it is. My God. And people went, I'm going to vote for him again. Yeah. That's how fucking dumb they are. All right, let's do this quickly. We got to... I've got the con.
Yeah.
Watch what I do. I'm going to do a little DJ here.
Okay. As Jimmy goes around the
horn. Not bad.
Not bad.
Starting with the letter game. Hope my guess is better. Stop with the letter and end with the
Garen sucks. All right, we got 9 minutes, fellas. Let's keep this tight. We've got to guess what horror or sci-fi movie I'm thinking of that begins with the letter O. Garen, get ready to win your $5. What is your guess?
The Omen.
Garen Cockrell has said The Omen. That is a horror movie that begins with the letter O.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll find out in due time. Anything else you should tell us about, Garen?
I'm going to see Life of Chuck tonight, and I'm extremely excited. New Mike Flanagan movie.
Oh, yeah. Stephen That's King. Supposed to be very good.
Yeah, it's got Mark Hamill in it.
We saw the trailer. It looked interesting.
It's supposed to be incredible.
Yeah, the trailer, I was like, is this going to be good? But then the review, all the whatever, seems like it's very positive. So, yeah, I don't know. Yep.
Uh-oh. Are we
Elliot is not interested.
Do you want to yell out your horror movie?
Are you good? No. You have to go out of order now.
Let us go before him. That's his punishment.
Your punishment. He has to take that. What's going on at the Familiar today?
Well, this happened on Monday too. All of a sudden, he's being called upon on his day off.
And he's got his lady friend there that could.
She can't do anything.
She can't.
She's
assist.
Legally prevented from.
From how she cannot.
Yeah, his girlfriend is from Indonesia.
Okay,
and so she's on a visa and she's not allowed to work. So I feel like if she was,
but is that working?
There might be legalities in terms of the building itself,
right?
That.
Have you seen the building, Garen?
I have not.
There's no legal stuff going on over there.
Yeah, no.
Sorry.
It's all right. So
they have wonderful chairs.
All right. And then, hey, did you get that shirt from Peter Allen? Where did you get that top? That's a great fucking joke. That may be the greatest thing
I wish
ever.
I knew who that was.
Peter Allen is a dancer and a choreographer, and he has when he would do specials back in the day, variety, all of his shirts would have
the shoulder.
They'd be shirts with ruffled sleeves.
Yeah. Is he related to Debbie Allen?
No, two different worlds.
She's also a dancer.
No, that's a good point.
You are gayer than I am. And I have sex with men. I don't understand this.
The only thing keeping me from being the gayest man alive is that I have zero interest in having sex with a man. That's the
except
only
George
thing.
Clooney. Except George Clooney.
The exception George.
You can't just drop Peter Allen and be like...
Here we go.
You're right. That's fair. That's fair.
It's a deep choreographer cut.
Yeah. But he's well known, and Garen knows this. The circles Garen and I run in. He's very popular.
What would we know him from? Like, what did he work on?
What would you know Peter Allen from? I don't think anything.
Okay.
I believe he choreographed like some Bette Midler specials. I don't know for sure. But he was a guy that you'd see all the time. Like, he would come to the Drury Lane Theater in Chicago, you know, at three nights with Peter Allen, which Garen would love.
My friend Bette Midler, do you want me to text her and ask if Peter Allen choreographed her special?
Do you think she would respond in real time?
She might. Let's see.
This would be very exciting.
Also, tell her to come do the show.
Yeah, right. This is another one.
One step at a time, Garen.
You would probably freak out if you saw Bette Midler, right?
We just had a conversation recently in my house about how I have an amazing amount of respect for Bette Midler for the reasons of, first of all, she's very sexy. And many people do not find her sexy. And so she had a tough time early in her career. She was so fucking talented. She got through all the horseshit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's amazing. And so and she's a strong woman. And so, yes, Bette Midler. I'll throw Bette in the top five on people we'd love to have in here.
Oh, but she's amazing. She did the QVC show. So
she did.
Please go and watch that episode.
Did she help sell a Sponge Daddy? What did she do?
No, we don't sell things. It's just a late night talk show.
No Sponge Daddies?
No Sponge Daddies. No nothing. We don't really, that. We just sell the outfits that we wear. Like, we don't sell them. We're just like, if you like these outfits, you can buy them on QVC. Yeah. But here's our guest, Bette Midler. So she came on last year for my birthday.
What did you guys talk about? You know about beaches?
We talked a little bit, probably about beaches. She told a story about how she made her prom dress and her date was an adult convict. She talked about how she chose her daughter's school when she moved to a new neighborhood. They were looking, you know, people were encouraging her to enroll her daughter in many prestigious private schools, but she chose a school based on that they had a chili cook-off banner hanging outside, and she wanted to be in that chili cook-off.
Yay.
She said she drank gin was her drink when she came on, and her snack was Fritos. We always give people their choice of snack and a drink, and some people really go for it. But the more famous the person, the more they're like, I'll have Fritos and a glass of gin.
Do you know why she wants Fritos? Because they're delicious.
Yeah. They're delicious. And she loves a walking taco back to the chili cook-off.
I was going to say, chili cook-off and Fritos go together.
Go together like a hand in glove. Yeah. So anyway, I think that's mostly what we talked about. And then she talked about sewing and
what about Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy?
Yeah, she talked about some of those things.
I was going to say, which company?
She talked to me about Prince because she knows I love Prince. So she'll often try to like come up with like a little Prince anecdote. So she talked about that. David Bowie.
Wow. Great.
Yeah.
I sent her,
did Peter Allen ever choreograph one of your shows? So.
All right. So we're waiting on that. We may get breaking news.
Is this Peter Allen, Liza Minnelli's first husband, Peter Allen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, he was living a lie.
Yeah, well, he died of AIDS in 1992.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Weirdly enough.
Thanks for bringing it down, Garen.
Sorry, but I just bought two vinyl. One of them was Bette Midler's Thighs and Whispers. Yeah. And the other one was Liza Minnelli's Liza with a Z.
Not Lisa with an S, because Lisa with an S goes not Z.
Yeah.
Once again, proving I'm gayer than Garen.
Yeah, he just bought it. You've got the whole album memorized.
In your head.
By art.
You own it. In your head.
Goddamn right I do.
That's right. Yeah, you don't need the physical object when it's got it in the.
How many times have I seen Liza Minnelli in concert? How many times?
Seven?
No, two.
Three?
Three. It was three. Yeah.
Three times.
Three, but let's be honest. That's still a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of Liza Minnelli shows.
Sure.
That's a lot.
She's great.
Again, that's one more times than I saw my favorite band of all time, the Beastie Boys.
Elliot, what's your guess?
So before I do my guess, really quickly, I'm surprised you aren't interested in any of the test pressings from...
No.
Oh, okay.
They don't interest me. That's just a white sleeve.
That's fair.
It does nothing for the nostalgia collecting part of my brain. All right.
Yeah, it doesn't look like anything. If you display it, it's just like, what's that? That's nothing.
Oh, so you got Steve Perry to sign a piece of cardboard for you?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it doesn't do anything for me.
All right, fair enough. All right, so we already have The Omen.
Yeah, The Omen. Garen said that.
So I've got two to choose from, but I think that if it's not The Omen, that the Jimmy Pardo brain goes Omega Man.
Omega Man.
Which is both horror and sci-fi.
100%. Ticks both boxes, doesn't it? The great Charlton Heston.
Mm-hmm.
They called him Chuck on the set.
Yeah. Did he like it? Maybe.
I don't know. I doubt it.
Yeah.
Was he a Chuck? But did people, did his friends call him that?
I would imagine that on the Tonight Show at some point,
seems
they said,
like a Chuck.
You know, we're on the set and Chuck said to me, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I would imagine it's one of those. And then all the insider Hollywood people know they're talking about Chuck Heston, who he loved that gun. God, did he love that gun.
You're going to have to pry from his cold, dead hand.
And I did. He finally died.
I hope so.
And I went and got it.
Went right up and got that gun.
And you know what I did? I shot him with it.
Oh, well, why not? He's already dead.
Just
target practice.
Killed him a lily a little bit.
According to Wikipedia, his nickname was always Chuck.
Oh, he loved it.
I guess so.
Is that what that show is about?
it's like my buddy Charlie Norris. You know him, the martial artist.
Why? I'm always confused about Chuck. Where does you come into it?
One of
like
those
what?
Weird,
what yeah, in like the Canadian? Does, like it should be Chuck.
Yeah, but it's not. You know, that's not.
No, but I'm. But why?
Because that sounds stupid.
Why Chuck?
Well, why is John Jack? Why does John need a nickname? Let's go that.
I think that Jack is a separate name, and I don't know why Johns are trying to use it, and that I find equally upsetting.
We blame the Kennedys on this, don't we?
Yeah, I guess. My son's middle name is Jack, and it's not John. It's just Jack.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just Jack.
Okay, nobody's fighting you.
Jack, not name. Jack job.
What's your guess, Casey, on this the horror that begins with O? Two great ones have already been chosen.
Orphan?
Orphan is another great one. It's another great one.
Thank God, because I only had three.
Is it Orphan or...
Is it The Orphan? I think it's just...
No, it's Orphan.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Orphan. Yeah.
There's The Orphanage.
That's another one, isn't it?
Oh,
very
good.
Yeah, that actually is very good.
Yeah, it's terrific.
Yeah, so far, I don't remember Orphan seeing it. I'm sure I have, but if we're counting The Orphanage, The Omen and Omega Man and The Orphanage are all three great movies.
Mm. Well, here's a fourth.
There's not a lot of O's.
Orphan is where it's the little girl, but she's actually an adult.
But she's an adult. And she like she's goes after her adopted family
because
she looks like a little girl, but she's grown.
Wait a minute. Isn't that documentary about that?
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
That's yes.
That. Okay.
And the show that.
And there's a show that's
Grey's Anatomy's in.
Just came out recently. That's kind of the same premise.
Ellen Pompeo. Yeah.
Yes.
That show.
Which is about. It's like a dramatization of that.
Oh, the real story. Okay. Yeah.
That creepy
Natalia
little.
Grace.
Yes.
Right?
Natalia Grace. They had a second season of that that I had zero interest in watching. I got the first one. Yeah. Figured out she's walking to her job.
Garen took my first choice. Elliot took my second choice.
Of course.
Thank God Casey didn't take my only other thought. But this is another movie that I really like, The Others.
That's a good one.
Great movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember that being, you know, genuinely scary in the theater.
Again, not a lot of O's, Naomi but Watts. All very, very good.
Was it Naomi Watts or was it Nicole Kidman? Nicole Kidman. Sorry. Naomi Watts was in The Ring, which was a similar vibe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Name something Naomi Watts is bad in. You can't do it.
No.
You couldn't do it.
Well, I bet you could if you looked at her IMDb. She's probably been in a couple of stinkers.
I'm not saying, she'd be good.
She's good in it. She's good. If it's bad, yeah.
She's like Hugh Grant. No matter what she's in, she's great.
Yeah. Yeah. But we all agree it's going to be The Omen, right? I mean, this is, what are we even doing here?
Probably.
Well, let's find out what the fans had to say.
Sure. Before we do that, I looked up Chuck and Charles, and I'm surprised this isn't like an old ancient English thing. Apparently, it's 1913, a gangster who is named George Washington O'Connor. He was given the nickname Chuck when he was a kid. He lived in a Chinese neighborhood. A lot of Chinese people took Chuck as a name to Americanize themselves. Had nothing to do with anything. And then a newspaper accidentally named him Charles instead of Chuck. And that's where it apparently comes from.
Well,
most likely.
And again, the man's name is Charlton. It's Charlton Heston.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's not even Charles.
It's even...
Yeah, that's
it's another...
Point. I didn't think about that.
It's not even Charles being Chuck. Yeah, it's Charlton. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's still Charl, though. Someone decided Charl and Chuck.
So at some point, Charlie may be, some friend of his may call him Chuck.
Well,
and you'll have to murder that
Zoe
person.
Zoe and I were just talking about the other day whether we should start calling him Chuck. You know, he's now going through puberty. It's like, is this the time that you switch to Chuck? Or do you wait for him to have a growth spurt? Because he's still smaller. But I'm not ready. I'm not ready to call him Chuck.
He's not a Chuck.
I don't think I ever will.
That's the other problem.
Yeah.
Just like Oliver's not an Ollie. It's
There's one. I have one friend who calls him Chuck, and I kind of feel like it's their thing, and that's fine. But it doesn't feel right coming out of my mouth.
Now, you know my thoughts on Chuck, right?
Chuck, Bobuck.
Bobuck, go fuck yourself. Right? No, thank you. Give us the fans quickly. We got to go.
All right.
Thank you for that today.
You're welcome.
Very, very tight.
Go there.
There can't be a lot.
There's a few.
I bet there's some obscure shit that we've never heard of.
7, 8, 9. Here we go. I'll put Outbreak. I'm going 12. Outbreak.
Outbreak's a good movie.
Orca. I've never seen
Orca?
It.
Oh, that's
Orca. I remember that.
That's about that killer whale.
That's right.
Yeah. Casey saw when she dropped off her mom.
Oculus.
Mm-hmm. Mike Flanagan.
Another Michael Flanagan, huh? Look at that. He's got a new movie coming out, that Stephen King film.
Overlord.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it seems a lot of people think this way. I've forgotten the movie. Octopussy? Is that a sci-fi?
It's listed as a sci-fi on two sci-fi sites that I went to.
Yeah.
A couple, like Moonraker and Octopussy, I think fall there because there's a little bit more...
Moonraker,
he goes into space, obviously, so that's considered sci-fi because he's in space. But yeah, maybe there's a little... I forget the plot of Octopussy.
How did that get through Standards and Practices? How did Octopussy
really
get through?
The ball.
It seems like it should not have gotten through.
Any later...
S&P loves to point out that someone's mind could go to something under perfect circumstances. Mm. So I don't know when you blatantly say Octopussy.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like an octopus.
And a cat. Somebody went, okay.
And then a lawyer is like, well, I would call it octopus-ish then in that case. And then you have to be like, okay.
All right. Thank you. Oh, they've already printed the posters. We can't do it.
Is there, I don't remember, is there a character or is there a reason why it's called that?
I thought the character.
The character is
Octopussy.
Okay.
Yeah, she's got 8 pussies, man.
Well, then they really should have picked up on it.
These are dumb S&P people.
Yeah. Well, it seems okay as long as it's not named after a character who's had 8 pussies. Wait, what?
No,
it is?
I screwed up at work today, honey. Go ahead.
Omega Man.
Omega Man, that's what you said.
Yeah, Oblivion.
Oblivion's a good film. Garrett loved it.
1 hour photo.
You know, that's the great Robin Williams. That's a great horror film.
Yeah.
That's more thriller than horror.
I don't think that's horror, but it is good. I mean,
it's listed on horror sites, though.
Yeah. A lot of times thriller gets thrown in there.
Horror sites.
And horror sites. It's also thriller. Sure.
Orphan, as was mentioned.
That was mentioned.
The Others.
Mm-hmm.
A movie that I like a lot. I don't know if y'all have seen it or not. Outland. With Sean Connery. It's a good space detective movie. Right.
It's okay.
I liked it.
I don't like his accent.
Is that the one where he wears the Sean creepy Connery bikini bottom?
No. That's Zardoz.
Yeah. Like, like dry heaves.
A lot of people love it, and you're against it.
Yeah, my friend Paul F. Tompkins, has he ever been on this podcast?
Several times.
He will. He likes to tease me by doing a Sean Connery impression, and it literally makes like a ball of something rise up in my throat.
So I won't.
He specifically says the phrase "cream jacket," and it almost like makes me black out.
Oh God, that's a terrible affliction to have. Because I find his voice just
imagine
charming.
Him saying "cream jacket" and see if you start to get woozy.
You won't.
You're making me want to try saying it in that accent, and I don't want to make you sick, so I won't do
fair.
It.
Yeah.
I'll do it later. When
he's still alive, right, John Connery?
No, he
died.
When did we lose John?
Like a decade ago, maybe?
About 10 years, huh?
We missed
We missed him?
No, it can't be that long.
It was like 2 years ago.
2 years ago?
Yeah, I thought. Yeah.
What is time?
Time is really what it is.
5 years ago, 2020.
All right, so what's the difference?
Halloween.
Was it COVID? No, he was just old, right?
He was pretty old.
He had Alzheimer's, I think, or something. He was not well for a while.
And misogyny.
Did you see that the lead singer of A-ha was diagnosed with Parkinson's?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and he revealed it yesterday, and he's been dealing with it for a while. It's a bummer, because as we know on the show, it's time I start admitting A-ha is one of my favorite bands.
Yeah.
Love him.
Love him.
Love him. Go ahead.
Number one, The Omen.
The Omen. All right, let's go. Here's my... top five. And again, you're trying to just match number one. If you do, you get $5.
Mm-hmm.
And The Con. Mm-hmm. Where am I going? There it is.
Were you a little disappointed in Mission Impossible that they didn't use the word con and that whole subway, the whole submarine thing? They could have said it and they didn't.
Yeah. I'm disappointed with a lot of that movie.
But mainly that.
What if that was my main take? But mainly that.
Why did they say con?
I don't know why they were too busy saying other things.
Well, and why was that captain so chill? He's like a very smooth, chill man.
The black fella?
The submarine captain.
Severance.
He popped. I was watching Severance.
He might have been my favorite part of the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you expect that to be
in this movie?
Did you expect it to? Spoiler alert. Did you expect that to be Angela Bassett's son?
That captain?
It's not.
No, because then you see her.
You see her
hug her son at the end, and it's a different guy.
Matt, that never crossed my mind.
Yeah, it didn't cross my mind.
Why? Never once did that cross my mind.
Well, she said, "My son's out
in the military,
doing
somewhere.
A thing."
There's a moment where they're like, "Should we? Do you want to call your son?" Because they think the world's about to end, and she's like, "I don't forget what she says, but
I think it's that."
that was the line. That's what they wrote.
Angela Bassett,
number five, Oblivion.
Okay.
Woo.
Number four, Omega Man.
I'm out.
Number three, The Others.
Okay.
Number two, The Orphanage.
Okay.
And number one, and you're never going to believe this, we do not have a winner.
What?
The Omen.
Whoa.
How is it not The Omen?
Of course it's The Omen. One of the greatest horror movies of all time.
Right? Want to hear something crazy?
You hate it.
I thought one of us said The Omen. I thought one of you guys did.
He was being sarcastic.
Oh, so he's not. Oh.
Yeah, doing. Just throw
you know that I.
An idiot?
Yes, I didn't even know what today was. So.
That's true.
I'm easily fooled.
Yeah, that's why you don't like pranks.
So when Garen doesn't, when Garen wins, nobody wins, or does he get $5?
I mean,
I like where your mind's at, but no, we do give him the money.
Okay. I don't want to have to give Garen $5.
Nobody
you don't have
wins
to.
If I win. This rolls over.
All right, here we go. We're all going to say and five. You ready?
Hold on.
As soon as Matt's ready to throw this.
Well, I thought you were going to talk a little more, so I was taking my time with a nice little crumple.
Clump it up. We got to go.
Okay.
And five.
Hit the desk, but right through the hands.
Oh, yeah,
right
can there. Buy yourself popcorn at the movie tonight.
What movie are you going to?
A half a popcorn.
A quarter of a popcorn?
You can go in on some popcorn with your friends.
I'm going to put this in the Galactus popcorn bucket fund.
Oh, you mean for when that movie finally comes out?
The collectible popcorn bucket.
It's gigantic. It's like this.
Wait, they've already announced what the popcorn bucket's going to be?
It's the new Beanie Babies, those damn popcorn buckets.
Oh, wait, this is for Fantastic Four.
That's just garbage, right?
Yeah, it's just garbage.
Right, spend the money on it, you bring it home, and then in a month you go, why did I have this? And then
it brings you happiness, but I'm just saying, if you start stacking up those popcorn boxes, I'm not cleaning your house when you die.
Full disclosure, she's probably not going
to
do that anyway.
That'd be weird if she did. Blu-rays out of the way. Because that is how I'm going to die. They are going to fall on me.
Yeah.
That's
you know
guaranteed.
What? Let's hope that's how you go, because you'll die.
He was killed by what he loves.
What he loves.
Surrounded by what you love.
Yes.
I mean, the Blue
Ripped
Ridge.
To shreds by Blue Ridge.
Oh, you think they're going to slice you up? Because they're not heavy enough to crush you, but the bookcase might. But
yeah.
One thing we know, though.
Darren's got a Blu-ray. He sucks.
There we go. Somebody sent that in. Somebody went, I'm going to make this.
Produced that.
And the producer went, done. And then said, they got to have
sounds
this.
Sounds like
first,
a multi-track.
Sorry. First, I have to play it through the sound system of a drive-thru car. Yes. Because why does it sound so crazy?
I know, but it works.
It sounds, I mean, it's perfect, but it's weird.
All right, before we go, did Bet get back to you?
She didn't. Damn I'm it. Sorry to say. Bet. I know. I'll have to report to you. I'm sure she will eventually.
Let
She's
know,
never left me on red. So, yeah, I'll have to let you know.
All right. Eventually. Keep us posted if she ever was. Casey, thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me. Sorry I was late and in the wrong place.
Yeah, you blew it. You really blew it.
I feel like this is going to be the last time you ever have me.
No. Oh, no. I wouldn't guess anymore. I could confirm it. Hey, everybody, thanks for listening, thanks for subscribing, thanks for supporting the program. It means a lot to us. On behalf of the Pop Culture Beast, look over there. He's $5 richer. That's Garrett Cockrell, man. Video Village. He's five cookies less than he was moments ago. Mm-hmm. That's Elliot Hochberg, the honcho Matt Belknap, and I don't know, DMV's own. I'm Jimmy Pardo. We'll see you next time on the podcast. AK 47, go on, not forgotten.